about.
Take that to the bank.
I'm going to take you to the bank, Senator Trent. To the blood bank.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What are in these bags here? It looks like you're hiding something.
It's not.
It's not? You mind if we go through these?
No.
What is this here?
Nothing.
Why'd you tuck away some knives in a behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
You don't know whose that is? It's just randomly in your house?
Yeah.
Rub it in your hand and just gently pull backwards like that. You want to hold it at the top just like that and just pull very gently. You just give it a light squeeze.
What?
Give it a toss with my fingertips. Give it a little twist just to help it along a bit. Get the juices flowing in.
Oh.
What's going on? Is this some sort of interactive theater art piece?
And now.
AM radio is a viable and modern source for news and entertainment.
Totally.
Oh. I used to be number one in this town, but people don't listen to AM like they used to. Seems like it's more about FM and color TV.
That's stupid.
It sure is, Kevin.
Our feature presentation.
All right, party people, it is Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Welcome to
Sick Ward A, Ralph Garman. Be careful.
What the hell's going on with you people? Everyone's coming back, bringing their disease.
I was at a Red Sox game in the pouring rain last week, for starters.
That was me, actually.
Oh, that was Lisa. Me.
Yeah.
Well, you know how Lisa loves her Red Sox.
You can't keep her away from a game. Even the rain couldn't keep Lisa away. She is that dedicated a Red Sox fan.
It was like,
as soon as she found out what sport the Red Sox play, she said, I am in.
Lisa, were you fine when you went on vacation?
And then I was.
You got sick while you were gone? That sucks.
No, I didn't, actually. I was fine until I got home. And then I got
this
sick.
This weekend? Over the weekend?
Yeah, over the weekend. Although I must say that the flight home was terrible, and I threw up like 4 times, which I've never done on a plane before.
You are a box of
and
chocolates.
And it wasn't because I was sick. It was air sickness.
Wow. You don't travel well.
I don't travel well.
No.
I think I've learned that I really don't travel well.
You can't
talk
to Lisa during a flight. Because focusing, must concentrate, must not vomit. So, you know, Lisa doesn't fly well. Well, that's a shame.
Yeah. So that was
I'm glad you brought your disease here to the workplace. That's good
stuff. Sorry. I cannot be here tomorrow. I can make that happen.
Well, we might have to.
I think
so. It does seem like we've had that discussion many times, which is if you're sick, please stay home for the benefit of the rest of us. Not that we're not delighted to see you, but maybe today's not a good day for you to be here if you're really that ill.
The truth is it got worse overnight. And had I known, I would have called someone, but I can't. I mean, someone has to fill in for me. So.
Oh, I got
right.
you. Yeah, I got
that was the tricky part.
Double jeopardy because if I get sick, I can't go into the NICU to see my baby girl. So,
it crossed my mind first thing, Ralph.
I am extra careful these days trying not to get sick because if you got a cold or something, you can't go in there because little babies get sick.
I know. Yeah.
Should we put Lisa in one of the other studios, Psycho Mike? Is that possible?
That's not a terrible idea.
We can make that work.
Can we put her in the basement?
Ooh, she could do traffic from the basement. That's a great idea.
That would be great.
That is, it's hermetically sealed, so, from what I know, so maybe we could do that too.
I also was sick all weekend long, and I'm all hopped up on cough syrup right now. And my skin is like crawling right now because I can't eat anything because I really don't feel like it.
Wow.
Yet I'm taking all this cough medicine and whatnot, so.
Jeez, I feel like I'm in that movie 24 Days. The zombie virus is starting to hit everybody.
I'm so curious.
Mike, how you feeling?
I'm on top of my game. But I'm so curious what Bean's like when he's sick. Because you know how he is just regular. Like, he's always in, like, pajamas.
He's already capping lethargy.
And eating ice cream like an 8-year-old and watching cartoons. I wonder what he's like sick.
He runs marathons and he lifts, chops down trees. It's very odd. He's bizarre.
We are going to take your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air. Get a prize. By the way, as bad as my voice sounds today, imagine what Kevin's voice sounds like. You heard what he sounded like last week. And then last night was... Oh, last week Kevin was a mess.
Yeah, he had no voice last week.
Oh,
and
I
don't think he was sick either, right? He just lost his voice from
he was
from
just drunk.
Combination of Coachella and then the Los Angeles Kings playoff games.
And drunkenness.
Last night was maybe a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But last night was another Kings home game,
mm-hmm.
which would have been a disaster for him, obviously, because he loves them so and they lost. But he would have been worthless today if he'd have come in. Between the three of us, we wouldn't have had one good voice.
That series is over, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they lost it.
Yeah. In fact, Joseph, you hang on. We're going to take your call and everyone else at 1-800-520-1067 for the Monday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. By the way, in case we get very busy today and we don't get a chance to mention this, you guys are following this. You know today is Boobquake, right?
I was going to bring that up. I'm ready for the Boobquake. I've already battened down my hatches.
Well, why don't we say, you want to save Boobquake then for Showbiz Beat then?
It's not really Showbiz, but we can talk about it sometime today. I don't know if we want to do it now or not, but it's fascinating.
Well, just briefly for folks who are only with us for a few minutes, the deal is that there was an Iranian cleric last week who said, who blamed, because you know, people always say when there's an earthquake or something like that, it's God. Well, this guy said the reason that earthquakes are happening so frequently around the world these days is because women in particular are getting too far away from the code of Islam. Yes. And they're wearing too revealing a clothing.
The immodesty of women has caused God to strike the planet with earthquakes.
Exactly. Now,
really?
Yes.
How he knows that if a woman shows her hair, God sends that an earthquake, I don't know how he's able to put those two together. It seems like, you know, you're just guessing. There's lots of other ways God could be expressing displeasure, if at all, over a woman's hair being shown. But he was very serious about it and said that he really believed that that was the causal effect of the earthquakes, right? So this blogger in the Midwest somewhere has this great idea that says, well, let's test that theory. Let's see if this guy's right. And she has designated today, the 26th of April, as Boobquake. And she is encouraging all women around the world to wear something very revealing today. Show as much cleavage as possible. And let's just see if all of that combines to start another earthquake.
It's a scientific experiment. She says, let's see if this guy has a point. So she wants women to show either cleavage or wear short shorts, depending on what level of immodesty you prefer. And she started a Facebook page as a gag regarding this fact, and she has 96,000 friends on that Facebook page who are willing to get immodest today.
New figure, Ralph, this morning, 177,000.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes. So it's taken off, and because we believe in science on the Kevin and Bean Show, because that's what we're about is science, we are supporting this effort, and we say that to make it statistically as accurate as possible, the most women possible need to participate.
If you can go to work today in a bikini, go to school today just nude with a trench coat or something on. That would help us out enormously.
That'd be sweet.
That would be way sweet.
And it'll tick off an Iranian cleric like nobody's business. And that alone is reason to do it. So,
yes.
Boobquake, make your plans to participate today, ladies.
All right.
1-800-520-1067. That's the telephone number. Give us a call. It's time for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right, get on the air, get a prize. How about this? A pair of tickets to Dr. Green Thumb's Spring Gathering, which is coming up Saturday, May 8th at the NOS Event Center. Tickets are available. Let me see, who's participating in that? It's,
I believe Cypress Hill, right?
B-Real is going to be hosting, Method Man, Red Man, Cottonmouth Kings, Fishbone. Hell of a lineup.
I suspect
I'm the one
that
called Dr. Green Thumb. I'm the one that's going to make it all right.
And that's all.
That's not the song. No. We were talking about hockey. Let's try Joe. He's on line 4, calling the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067 if you want to participate. Hey, Joseph, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
So how does this happen again? They're up in the third period, and they come back, and they beat us.
Yeah.
How? 4-2.
Yeah.
Joseph was talking about the Los Angeles Kings last night, who were eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs by the Vancouver Canucks. Yeah, they took a lead into the third period, and then Vancouver scored 3 goals.
However, in their defense, the Kings have done that, too, to teams a lot this season. Come back from behind in the final period and
there
won the game.
There's no defense. So. They lost.
Yeah, in playoff hockey, it's all about defense, quite frankly. You have to be able to hold those leads, and unfortunately, they weren't able to do that.
Disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
I know it hurts, especially since it's the playoffs, Joseph, so maybe this won't affect you, but I watched 2 Mariners games over the weekend playing the White Sox where they had the lead in the bottom of the 9th with 2 outs and lost both games to walk-off home runs.
Oh.
That's the thing about sports is you play them right till the end.
Yeah, but the Mariners suck. You expect that.
How dare you?
The Kings were doing well this season. That's why they're disappointed. Well, they get the playoffs all the time, so it's not a big deal.
It's been the first time in eight years.
By the way, it's been about 8 years since the Mariners have been in the playoffs, too. Kyle is on line 1, calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Kyle, what it do?
What it do? What it do, whore?
Hey, what the?
Wow.
That's not a welcome home.
Well, good morning. Bean, I wanted to talk to you about how much of a jerk Dane Cook is on Twitter.
Well, yeah, I mean, the guy's never said a funny thing in his life. He has 1.4 million followers on Twitter. And I can't understand why, because he's never tweeted anything, even the tiniest bit interesting or funny.
Although, I will say, Bean's retweets...
I was going to say, Bean's still smacking him down on Twitter, isn't he?
Of Dane Cook's stuff with a funny added line are almost always awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
What's the point of following Dane Cook? I mean, if let's say you like him because you think he's funny. Let's say you like him as a comedian. What's the point of following him if he's never funny on Twitter? How does he get a million and a half followers? It's crazy.
I think a lot of them might be spam followers, though. Do you get those, too?
I don't think so. I mean, I try to eliminate those if I can, but I don't know. It's ridiculous. Ralph has pointed out many times most people shouldn't tweet.
Right.
He would have to be at the top of the list of those who shouldn't tweet, though.
Right. Did you see his tweet about Jim Carrey?
Yes.
That was my most hated tweet right there.
I do not tweet, so I didn't see it. What is it?
He said he was poolside reading an article about Jim Carrey and wondering why they shouldn't collaborate. And the reason why is because he's not of caliber to collaborate with Jim Carrey. Anywhere near caliber.
Yeah, Dane Cook says, I'm laying poolside reading about Jim Carrey, wondering why we don't work together.
Oh, I see.
And by the way, he's that guy that always has to say, laying poolside.
Yes.
Or driving in my Benz
Bentley
down PCH, wondering why.
Watching my 80-inch TV. Yeah. That's Dane Cook. That's the kind of
sipping champagne from a stripper's chew.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, he's retarded. That's all there is to it. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, Kyle. All right, big program today, of course. First of all, the return of Lisa May, ladies and gentlemen. He couldn't have missed anymore. Couldn't have missed Lisa anymore.
Oh, thanks. That's very nice.
We were very sad with you gone. I don't mind telling you.
Thank you, Bean.
And we're not so happy to have you back, quite frankly, either, now with this illness thing you brought in. So you've got us coming and going. You know what I mean.
Hello.
How about the Quidditch League on today's Kevin and Bean Show? How about that guy?
Bring him on. Quidditch.
I guess it's a college deal where they have dozens and dozens of schools or teams that participate in playing something close to the Quidditch game that they play in the Harry Potter.
No, you know, it's not close to Quidditch. You know why? They're not flying on brooms following balls that fly.
It does seem like it would be impossible to play Quidditch on Earth.
Doesn't seem like it's impossible. It's impossible.
Let's hear what he has to say about that.
Punch this guy right in the head.
Also from the band Linkin Park, Mike Shinoda is going to be joining us on the program today. Comedian Brian Posehn is going to be here from the Sarah Silverman Show. Matt Money Smith in studio talking all things sports. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the show. And we've got your tickets to Iron Man 2, which is going to be here before you know it. Is that this week? I think that's
May 7th, I believe. It debuts in theaters, but we've got a screening coming up, I think, this week, yeah.
I know that the premiere is tonight, and there's a certain guy by the name of Dave Sanchez going to be hosting the red carpet.
He's hosting,
really?
Hosting
the red carpet?
The red carpet? That's right.
That's got to be a mistake.
I'm going to be right there in the... Oh, no, Dave, I'm being told by DNN, Dave himself, just going to be on the red carpet.
Oh, he's not hosting. Okay. I was going to say, that's
so
one
excited.
Thing to be
well,
on the
no,
red
I
carpet.
I was pumped because I was under the impression he was going to, and I just imagine Dave talking to Robert Downey Jr. made my life complete.
I imagine the people watching Dave talk to Robert Downey Jr. saying, who is this guy, and why is Univision hosting the red carpet at Iron Man? I don't get the connection.
And if you weren't with us Friday, maybe you didn't know that our friend Ralph Garman is back too, ladies and gentlemen. We couldn't be happier about that.
Thank you.
And we'll take a look at the first look at the showbiz beat for the week coming up next right after this on the Kevin and Bean. We call ourselves the world famous K-Rock, and it's 551. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Okay, first earthquake is in.
Yep.
Taipei, Taiwan, you guys. 6.5.
Boobquake.
Boobquake is working.
Are you serious?
Boobquake!
Apparently the cleric was right. Apparently the joke's on us. Apparently
I heard Doug Kriegel's down there in Taiwan by reporting, by the way, about Boobquake. We got to see if we can dial him up.
I think we can dial him up, yeah.
See what's going on with Boobquake 2010.
But I don't think that means you shouldn't continue to do it, though, ladies.
I don't think one earthquake is proof.
Yeah,
and it was
exactly.
Pretty much just a tembler. It wasn't even really a big deal. Yeah. It didn't knock over any buildings.
Hundreds every single day. So that we, you know, they're just small.
Hey, Mike, don't say that.
Oh.
We want to encourage women to try to make her.
Okay, I got you.
Got it? Okay.
I'm slow. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Time for our first look at the showbiz beat now on a Monday. Here's our friend Ralph Garman.
It's Monday morning, so we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. This How to Train Your Dragon. Boy, is this a surprise hit of the year.
And they're trying to potty train it? What's the plot of this? I haven't seen the movie.
No, it's about a young Viking who comes from a long line of dragon slayers.
And he wants to break with the family tradition. He has no desire to hurt or kill dragons. He doesn't want to do that.
He actually befriends one, right?
And he actually meets a young dragon, and he makes him his pet, and they become lifelong buds in spite of his father's pressure to slay the dragons. And it's a little moral story for the kids. It's a DreamWorks Animation. Apparently, it's a huge, huge hit based on a very popular book. $15 million made it number one this weekend yet once again. Just nudging out J-Lo and her backup plan. Made $12.3 million in its debut weekend, making it number two at the box office this weekend. You know, it's so funny. I only have room here for 10 different movies.
No!
Come on!
No!
I haven't done it in a while. I've got room just for 10 movies, just for the list of the top 10 movies at the box office. And you think with all the movies, I mean, how many movies do you think are in theaters right now? It's got to be 100 Dozens. Movies, right? And yet, still, second on the list, finding a way to nudge her way almost to the top. It's Jennifer Lopez, and I was reading the list, and I was wondering, how could that possibly be?
Right.
But then I realized,
yes,
there's always room for J-Lo.
Yeah! Oh, good for you.
Thank you.
And how was it?
It was good. Kevin has never been so happy to be on vacation, by the way, than he was at that moment. Date Night was number three at the box office. The Losers, new action-adventure film starring Jeffrey Dean Morgan, is fourth on the box office list, $9.6 million. Kick-Ass was fifth. Clash of the Titans was sixth. And Death at a Funeral, Oceans, The Last Song, and Alice in Wonderland, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. I don't know if you guys are watching The Celebrity Apprentice this year. I am kind of hooked on that show. But Bret Michaels, one of the stars of that show, is in critical condition.
What?
Yeah.
What happened?
He had a brain hemorrhage last Thursday night.
Wow.
And got rushed to the hospital. Apparently, People.com is saying Brett had a massive headache, was taken to the hospital, and they discovered a brain bleed at the base of his brain stem.
Dude.
He said that he was conscious last night, this is according to his publicist, but his speech is slurred and his vision is blurred. And this is just 2 weeks after Brett had an emergency appendectomy.
Wow.
So he's a mess. Brett, of course, suffers from type 1 diabetes, too, so doctors are hoping that won't complicate the issue. But he is still in critical condition in the ICU. So,
first thing I thought when I saw the story is he going to allow the doctor to take off his bandana to look at his head, or is he going to be, no, nobody gets to see my hair.
Maybe it was too tight. Maybe that's what caused the bleed. Wasn't Brett Michael the guy who ran into the piece of scenery as he was exiting the stage from it was the Grammys or the Tonys or something he was on, right?
Yep.
He did a header right into
and
there.
The awning came down before he knew it.
Right.
He smashed his face.
It just got clotheslined.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe that's what, maybe, you know.
Poor guy can't catch a break, and I hear all he's doing is looking for a good time.
Oh. Put that right in the file.
Please.
All right.
Lindsay Lohan had a big weekend. A lot of Lindsay stories in the news today.
That can't be good.
No, it cannot, considering none of them involve her and work.
Yeah.
Well, actually, one does involve her and work. She was fired from her latest movie. According to TMZ.com, Lindsay Lohan was fired from a new movie called The Other Side. Apparently, producers did not want to take a chance on her having problems during the filming of that motion picture, and they've decided that she's not worth the risk.
Wow.
Listen, I don't blame producers for fearing that, given her history, and given how hard it is just to make a motion picture under the best of possibility.
Yeah.
Best of situations and circumstances. I can understand why they wouldn't want to take a risk on Lindsay Lohan, especially when she is apparently morphing into Naomi Campbell. E! Online says she was recently out clubbing when she spotted her ex-girlfriend Samantha Ronson on the ones and twos on the Wheels of Steel. She stormed up to the club DJ and threw a drink right in her face. Samantha Ronson tweeted a few minutes later, "Just got a glass thrown at my head. Wonder who did it."
Wow.
Lindsay has snapped back via Twitter that she is done with the club scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
It was a melee from what I hear, and actually the Kevin and B microphones were there.
Right? Oh, really?
Yeah. Lindsay Ryan.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is, I believe we got it.
It's quite the fight. Oh. I'm not sure, but I think I heard someone drop an anvil during that fight.
That's true. Yeah.
You don't hear a lot of anvils being dropped
no,
anymore.
No, not nowadays. But
like they were fighting at a Renaissance fair.
Someone plays dirty.
Yeah. And Wolf Mother has changed its lineup yet again.
I love Wolf Mother. They're like the new Led Zeppelin.
Remember Window Licker Nick?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure do. He loves him some Wolf Mother. They've changed their lineup yet again. Back in 2008, the Australian band lost its bassist and drummer. But singer-guitarist Andrew Stockdale just hired two new guys. Now the second drummer, Dave Atkins, has left the group. Wants to spend more time at home with his family. So they will continue, apparently, with a brand new drummer named Will Rockwell Scott.
Because that's what champions do.
Who sounds like a guy who should be sitting in a smoking jacket in a lounge in London somewhere. Hello, I'm Will Rockwell Scott. Yes. I fought in the Boer Wars, don't you know? Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress and comedian Carol Burnett is 77 years old today. Drummer Roger Taylor of Duran Duran turns 50 years old. Actor Jet Li celebrates his 47th birthday. Actor, comedian, mall cop Kevin James is 45. T-Boz of TLC is 39 years old today. Tom Welling, young Superman over there in Smallville. He is 33 years old today, and I think he's dreamy. Handsome. Speaking of dreamy, Stana Katic, our friend from Castle, which has been so good this season. She is 32 years old today. Actress Jordana Brewster celebrates her 30th birthday. And actor Channing Tatum from G.I. Joe celebrates his 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. I don't belong
here. 106.7 KROQ is the world famous K-Rock. It's 6:08. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday.
I give you an hour.
I know.
That's the over-under on you lasting.
On life. Not the show.
Not just on the show, right.
Death, yeah.
Here I was saying that I thought it would get better. It would work its way out on my way further into the program. But so far that has not been the case. Yeah. Look, the lab up on 13 has been working very hard. You know, just like we have intelligence offices around the U.S. government that are always trying to uncover Al-Qaeda plots.
Yes.
We've got people working here on the Kevin and Bean Show who are always looking for tape that we haven't heard before.
Right, of course.
And I'm very excited to say that they have unearthed something that I think is pretty much a gem.
Awesome.
Lisa May, you're not going to be happy when you find out.
What?
The tape that we're about to play.
What?
Oh, you finally got that sex tape she made?
What tape?
Oh, Ray J.
Don't ask me how, don't ask me where, don't ask me, well, you don't have to ask me why, because it's pretty obvious why.
To mock you.
Does the phrase Magic FM mean anything to you, Lisa? Man?
Magic FM.
Yeah. Magic FM. Yeah. Sound familiar at all?
Oh, God.
What is Magic FM?
It was a radio station.
Other than our show, by the way, which is always Magic FM.
That's right. Yeah.
It was this radio. It was, oh, my God. It was in the Valley.
Uh-huh.
Which, San Fernando Valley, California?
Yeah, you remember KGIL?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, it was the sister station of KGIL. It was in the same building.
Okay.
And it was one of those stations that had giant reel-to-reels. Four of them that played the music.
It was like a computerized station?
Kind of. Uh-huh. Automated, but they had people, you know, as jocks. And so I was working there. It was like one of my first on-air jobs.
This is an early gig of Lisa May's?
Awesome.
And we would have to talk about local restaurants and what good food they had.
All over the country, though, right? You had to pretend you had eaten there? Is that what you mean?
No, just in the Valley.
Oh, I
just
see.
Just in the Valley. I mean, it was so small town radio.
Wow.
And half the time, one of these giant reels would fire, and it would play a song by the same group a second time because it was on a different reel. Like, you had no idea what was going to go next. And then you'd have to run out when one of the reels ran out and quickly change it because you didn't know when it was going to start again.
Jeez.
It was ridiculous.
High tech.
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't tell all that was going on when you hear how great it sounded on the air.
94.3. It's KMGX Magic FM, the station everybody can agree on. Good morning. Lisa May here with you. I'll be here right up until 3 o'clock playing all your favorites. So be sure to keep it here at Magic FM.
I can't stop smiling.
Do your teeth hurt?
I'm the happiest girl on the radio.
Magic FM.
Oh, my God.
We're the station you and your friends can agree on. You sound miserable.
Oh,
you had to have been miserable, right?
You're listening to Magic. It's so good.
Well, at the time, I was working at Metro morning and afternoon drive, and then I would drive to the Valley to do a midday shift and then drive back. It was miserable.
The price you pay for your art, baby.
Exactly, exactly. 94.3, it's KMGX Magic FM. Hi, Lisa May here. I'm in for Natalie Windsor today, and I'm going to be with you right up until 3. It's awfully nice to have you along.
Is it awfully nice?
Awfully nice to have you along.
I hope Natalie's feeling better. I hope Natalie gets well soon. I'm in for her. It's awfully nice.
Wow.
If that's what they were going for, they couldn't have hired a better person, though. You know what I'm saying? If they were going to go after someone that wanted to just ooze happiness over the airwaves, Lisa May is the perfect person.
She is small town coast.
She is butter, creams, and sunshine. Yeah. That's all you got out of her. She's love, luck, and lollipops right there.
Along.
Oh, it's so good to have you here.
This one's my favorite, I think, of the ones that we have.
94.3, it's KMGX Magic FM, the station that's growing faster than ever. And that, of course, is thanks to you and your friends.
I love that, by the way.
What's so funny about that? Why are you laughing? Because of you and your friends.
It gets better.
Lots of stuff planned for you today, along with all your favorites. We're going to be doing lunchtime at the oldies, so whatever you do, keep it right here at Magic FM.
Lunchtime at the oldies. It's fantastic.
Is someone actually tickling your ass with a feather while you were doing all your voices on this? Because you were the happiest little girl in the whole USA.
I oozed warmth. And, among other things.
Yeah, that was, maybe it's warmth. I know it was oozing something.
one more. By the way,
please. I think we got it.
I know. I can listen to this all day long.
Understand.
I want to just tune my radio into magic right now. I wish it still existed.
94.3. It's KMGX Magic FM, the station that's growing faster than ever. And that, of course, is thanks to you and your friends. Lisa May here. It's been awfully nice. I will be out of here at 3 o'clock. And, of course, Bob Taylor comes in, so watch out.
Oh.
He'll be taking you through right till 7, so have a great afternoon and keep it here at Magic FM.
Bob Taylor's coming in, so watch out, because you have no idea what Bob is capable of. You think I'm crazy? Wait till Bob Taylor comes in here. He's going to go off on magic. He is a card, and he needs to be dealt with, that Bob Taylor. He's a loose cannon. Watch out for Bob.
Bob Taylor's coming in next.
Bob might play Lionel Richie and Neil Diamond. You never know with Bob. Watch
He's
out.
He's unpredictable.
Watch out. What? Watch out.
I don't know.
Watch
I'm
out
like
for Bob Taylor.
Candy of radio.
You are Lisa May is blushing right now.
Next up is Bob Taylor. So watch out.
Is that awesome?
Does he do a show in the nude? Why do we watch out for Bob Taylor?
I told you, the guys on 13 in the lab are doing intel. They found it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Congratulations,
Lisa.
That was
fun. Thanks, guys.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, do we have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com?
I don't know. It's not my job,
like,
man.
Tell me. I don't see it on the phone. Do you have to
I see
me?
Someone on the phone, but he is not. I'm not capable of picking up that line. There we go.
Okay. There we go. TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ television. He is the man, the myth, the legend, the Harvey on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Harvey. How are you, man?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi, Harvey.
Good, Harvey.
Look, I understand that Michael Lowen is a concerned father. I get that there's a tiny part of him that is doing this because he really does have concerns for his daughter's welfare. But I can't trust anything that guy says. Every time he shows up with the paparazzi to do something, I feel like it's all about, hey, look at me. What's the deal with this dude?
Well, here's the question for you. I'll throw it back to you. Can bad people do good things?
I think so.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was a crappy father. And the funny thing is he kind of admits it, but... You know, his daughter is in danger of dying right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
She really is. And, you know, we saw once before, and boy, I sound like a Michael Lohan apologist, but I will say this. Jamie Spears was not exactly a great dad, and he saved his daughter. He saved her.
That's a good point.
True, I agree.
But he
agree.
Wasn't the screw-up that Michael Lohan is.
You're probably right. Yeah. And now the question is, why he is bizarre. But if he rattles the cages and upsets her enough that it gets her attention, it may be doing the right thing, even for wrong reasons.
Regardless of his motivation, you're saying this might be the right thing to do.
Well, somebody's got to get her attention, and nobody's able to do it. And it's, you know, it's kind of like, have you ever seen, like, a fighter where somebody is really skilled at fighting, and then somebody comes into the ring, and they just wildly throw their hands, and they end up connecting?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It's kind of like that.
Does he have a relationship with Lindsay at all outside of through the media and through Twitter?
No. I mean, she just has venom for him. And, you know, and I think that's what's happened is he's gotten to her, and she's actually responding to it in a way where she just ignores everybody else. So in a weird sort of way, he's got more influence over her than people who are in her life.
Wasn't he a part of his concern, too, is that his younger daughter Allie is hanging out with Lindsay and partying, and he doesn't, like, care for that?
They were at Coachella. And he says, and actually some paparazzi backed this up, that they were driving back in a car that was going 115 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. So Allie's in the car. She's 16 years old. She's partying at Coachella. She's out with her at clubs. And he's saying, this is just wrong. And meanwhile, the mother, Dina, saying, oh, everything's fine.
Yeah, she's another winner.
Harvey, how was he able to get the police to help him essentially break into Lindsay's apartment the other day to have a look around? What did he tell them to make that happen?
He told them that Allie was in danger. So he walks into the police, to the sheriff's department, and he says, look, you know, I've got evidence that my daughter is, you know, my younger daughter is with my older daughter who's got a substance abuse problem, who's doing crazy things, driving at this rate, and if you don't do something, she's going to die, and I'm putting you on notice. And at that point, the sheriff's felt, you know, we should do a welfare check. So they went to the apartment and they got in. Now, the weird thing is that the manager gave him the key, which Lindsay may end up owning that building.
Yeah, no kidding. Is that the type of thing that the sheriff would have done for you or I if we just showed up asking about our daughter, or did he get special consideration because they knew it was the Lohans?
No, I mean, I think if anybody can go in there and make a case that, look, there's a 16-year-old kid who's in there, you know, basically under the care of somebody in their 20s who is strung out the way Lindsay is, I think at a point the sheriff's department is going to do a welfare check.
Right, yeah, I think because she's a minor, I think that's what right. the reason yeah. was.
Boy, I really one feel like a lawyer with you guys today.
Yeah, you're good.
hey, sometimes we need a lawyer, you know what I mean? That's why it's great that you can wear both hats. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, the final thing on Lindsay, then we'll switch to Jesse James for a second here, is I saw the interview that that Michael Lohan did with Billy Bush on Access Hollywood where he said, you can't believe the condition of her apartment. He indicated without saying it that there was drug paraphernalia all over the place. And he also said that in Lindsay's bedroom there was no furniture and that she was sleeping on just a bare mattress. Did you see any of that?
Well, we had on TMZ Live on Thursday, and he was telling us that about the mattress as well, that she's and she started disputing that. I mean, to me, it's like, Lindsay, really, the least of her problems is a box spring. I mean, you know, when you start arguing that, you kind of miss the point. It's not about whether she's got a Tempur-Pedic or not. She's a mess.
I just can't believe the way she's living. All right, in our remaining moments, let's move on to mistress number two in the Jesse James case. This is Melissa Smith. You broke an interesting story about what she did over the weekend. Tell us about it, Harvey.
Well, I mean, first of all, I have to give credit to Daniel Goldblatt on my staff. He's sitting within earshot of me, but it's the best post he's ever written. So Michelle McGee is at a strip club, which is not, you know, unusual, right? I mean, she's in Vegas, and she's at Deja Vu strip club. But the best part about it is she's dancing to this German heavy metal music, and the headline for the story is Michelle McGee strips with Hitler's iPod. I mean, that is what you call brilliant in my world.
That's pretty funny.
She's dancing to Rammstein, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so that's mistress number one. Mistress number two, though, reaching out to Sandra Bullock. That's the thing that's crazy.
This is audacious. So Melissa Smith, mistress number two, faxes a letter, I believe, to Kevin Huvain, who is her agent. We got a copy of it. She faxed it yesterday. And she's saying, I feel the need to reach out to you and tell you how deeply sorry I am for everything you've been through. And I know nothing I can say in this letter is going to make the pain of my actions go away.
Wow.
I am sorry for any hurt or pain that I have caused you. My actions of engaging with a married man are unforgivable. I never meant to harm you. But the best part, I compromised my beliefs on several occasions.
Yes, not all she's compromised. She wants to get together with Sandra, right, and talk things out.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Just like Bombshell does. Maybe they should have a brunch or something, the three of them.
Yeah, I'm thinking Michelle shouldn't hold her breath. Melissa, rather, shouldn't hold her breath.
They should all go over to Lindsay's for a sleepover on the bare mattress. A pajama party.
Lisa, let me ask you, does the wife ever want to hear from the mistress? Is that someone you want to have any contact with at all?
Generally, no. I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
Maybe if there's enough of them.
Is there curiosity?
Sometimes if there's enough of them, you might want to get together and just figure out where he was when he said he was doing this or that or
or
you know,
plot
putting
is murder.
All the pieces together. That as well. That as well.
Well, you guys continue to do the Lord's work over there. TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ television. Harvey Levin, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate
it. Great talking to you guys. See ya.
Bye.
10-15 to get rid of this looter.
What you have just heard is an actual CB conversation.
106.7 K-Rock is the world famous K-Rock at 638. I'm not lying if I say that Iron Man 2 is the movie of 2010. Right?
Ah.
I mean, that's the one we've been waiting for.
Ah,
that's
it looks
the big
hot.
One.
Yeah, it looks hot.
Hi, Governor.
Hello, how are you doing?
The movie opens up a week from Friday. You can see it 3 days early next Tuesday night, a week from tomorrow night at the Arclight in Hollywood, 1-800-520-1067. Governor Schwarzenegger from the great state of California is here to help us give away tickets.
Yeah.
And it's a game we like to call Pumping Iron.
Hey, you want to see Iron Man 2?
Yeah!
Well, you're going to have to play our new game, Pumping Iron, with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Pump it!
Ah, that's hot.
Yeah. Governor,
DJ Omar Khan did an incredibly hot intro for me. I'd appreciate it.
It was hot. How do you have time to play silly radio games when you're running a state that has such a deficit,
well,
though, Governor?
Luckily, there are no more problems in California. We've solved the budget crisis and unemployment's at an all-time low. So I've got lots of free time to, go to MMA fights and do radio shows.
I'll have to pick up a paper. I was not aware you'd solve those crises. All right, tell me how the game is played. We have contestants lined up ready to go.
Well, the first five correct answers to my questions, we'll get the tickets for the special screening of Iron Man. So we thought we would do Famous Irons.
Famous Irons.
Ah, that's hot. Right. See, I've seen a movie called Pumping Iron.
Yes, you
that
were.
That would be a Famous Iron. If I were to say, what was the movie documentary that made Arnold Schwarzenegger famous? You'd be Pumping Iron would be the answer. And Iron is in the answer.
Okay.
That was the one where you pumped iron and smoked a lot of weed, if I recall correctly.
No,
right,
that
Governor?
Never happened. No.
I saw the movie. I saw it actually on film.
You saw it incorrectly.
All right. We'll take the contestants in order, starting with line one. And Virginia will be up first. Again, all of the answers have iron in them. Hi, Virginia. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my dear?
Good. And you?
Good. Thank you. Listen up. Here's the Governor with your clue.
Now, Virginia, the answer has iron in it, okay?
Okay.
All right. This 1999 animated film featured a boy becoming friends with an alien robot voiced by Vin Diesel. It's a big hit movie.
No clue.
Oh!
No clue. We were looking for Iron Giant.
Iron Giant!
No. Jennifer Aniston, Harry Connick Jr., also voiced in the movies. Great movie. Thanks for playing, though. Nice try. Let's try Robert, line two. Hey, Robert, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready for your clue?
Yes, sir.
Robert, this famous British actor played the villain in the third Die Hard movie, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, that's hot.
You are going to go see Iron Man 2 on Tuesday, May 4th at the Arclight Theater in Hollywood. Please hang on for your tickets. Let's try Daniel on line 3. Hi, Daniel. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
Daniel, this competitive cooking TV show originated in Japan, but is now a worldwide hit.
Iron Chef.
Yeah! That's hot.
Arnold, why are you yelling?
Because it's hot. He's right in the top.
Hang on, Daniel. You're winner number two. Let's try Chris, line 4, please. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Alanis Morissette asked this musical question in 1995, and the answer was no.
Alanis Morissette.
1995.
She asked this question.
Musical questions.
And Weddings and Rain.
I don't know.
Isn't it ironic?
That's what we're looking for, ironic.
Don't you think?
Thanks for playing.
A little too ironic. I really do think.
Tony is on
it's
line
like a black
five.
Fly in your Chardonnay.
Yes, I believe we got it, Governor. Thank you. Tony, welcome to the show. Ready to play?
Oh, yes, I am.
All right, Tony. This English heavy metal band was formed in 1975 and was named after a famous medieval torture device.
I gotta say Iron Maiden.
Ah, you have to say it, yes.
Look at that.
Because
at
it's
that.
Right, you have to say it.
All right, three winners down, looking for two more. Let's try Eddie, line 6. Hi, Eddie, you ready to play with Governor Schwarzenegger?
Yes.
Here we go.
According to reports, on Thanksgiving Day 2009, Elin Nordegren allegedly smashed Tiger Woods in the face with this type of golf club.
Nine iron?
Yeah!
Yes!
Yeah!
Well done!
Yeah!
All right, we got time for one more. Frank is on line 7. Hi, Frank. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. We have one pair of tickets up for grabs for Iron Man three days early. You ready to play?
Awesome. I got your iron right here, Schwarzenegger. That's
hot. That's going to be hot. All right, this is the special audio clue question. I feel like Alex Trebek. This American psychedelic rock band is best known for this 1968 hit.
In a god of a fleet of honor, don't you know that I'm loving you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Makes me want to smoke dope.
What's the name of that band that did In a God of the Vita?
Iron Butterfly?
Yeah!
Congratulations to all of our winners and all of our contestants. Thanks, Governor Schwarzenegger.
Congratulations to me. I'm hot.
Yeah.
Thanks for Pumping Iron with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Former sports guy of the program, Matt Money Smith, joins us next hour talking about your Oklahoma City Thunder, Psycho Mike.
Hey.
Also, Thunder.
Yeah, the Lakers really do need to worry. I don't care how deep they think they are.
And comedian Brian Posehn from the Sarah Silverman Show has a new album out, too, called Fart and Wiener Jokes. We'll be talking to Brian about his new mature project coming up in minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
And it's Monday morning. That means you take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. How to Train Your Dragon, which is a movie I rented once in the back section of my video store.
No, yeah.
It is not for kids. It is not for kids.
This is a kid's movie. This doesn't have anything to do with that one. That was same title, different movie.
Oh, I see. My dragon breathed fire once.
Yeah.
But then I had to take some penicillin and it went away.
Gotcha.
$15 million made How to Train Your Dragon number one at the box office this weekend. The Backup Plan with J-Lo is a marginal hit. $12.3 million made it number two at the box office.
I rented The Backdoor Plan. Totally different.
Good job, man.
Date Night was number three. The Losers was number four at the box office this weekend. Kick-Ass, Clash of the Titans, Death at a Funeral, Oceans, and the last song, Alice in Wonderland, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Poison singer Bret Michaels is in critical condition in the hospital as we speak. Apparently he suffered a brain hemorrhage last Thursday night, according to People.com. He had a massive headache and was taken to the hospital. Doctors discovered bleeding at the base of his brain stem, which is not good, even for someone who uses his brain stem as little as Bret Michaels. So apparently he is conscious, but his speech is slurred and his vision is blurry, and they're not sure what his condition is going to be, but apparently he is in serious condition, so we wish him the best. Speaking of a little health update, thought everyone would like to know, it's official. Dexter's Michael C. Hall is cancer-free of Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh,
he's been
news.
Cured, so that's great news because we love him and we love the show and want to see him get well.
Plus, having his wife murdered in the bathtub, he's already got enough on his plate. He's got to deal with fighting also.
That was the
cancer,
show.
Yeah.
Just that. Brooke Mueller seems to be done with her husband, Charlie Sheen. Us Weekly magazine says the couple is no longer living under under the same roof. Apparently, she has a problem with the fact that recently pictures were published of Charlie Sheen wearing a disguise going to meet an escort. Some women.
Wow.
Some wives.
She knows she married Charlie Sheen, right?
Did you see the disguise, by the way? I would be embarrassed just because of the disguise.
Really?
Not
doesn't
the fact that he was going to bang an escort.
Like?
He had like a bad, like, paste-on mustache. He was like wearing a hoodie and sunglasses. He looked like the Unabomber, quite frankly. That's what he looked like.
Doesn't he work on TV sets and movie sets where he can
get the best makeup artist in the business? And he went to Hollywood Toy and Costume and picked up a 39-cent Groucho Marx mustache and stuck it on. Yeah. It was embarrassing. Speaking of marital bliss, Gary Coleman has reunited with his bride, Shannon Price.
Oh, good.
You may remember that Gary was charged with domestic violence back in April of 2009 when Shannon said that Gary beat her up. But apparently, since Gary has gone through a series of seizures and has realized how much life is precious, he realizes now how much he loves his wife. In fact, they love each other so much they went out and got a brand new puppy.
Choo-choo!
Puppy immediately grabbed Gary and buried him in the backyard, which is sad.
Aww.
He is just a little person. He is not big. Gary Coleman, diminutive.
What are you saying?
What's my name?
Gary Coleman. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Channing Tatum is 30 years old today. You know him from Step Up, G.I. Joe, Fighting, all those movies. Mike, you like him? He's buff, right?
He's buff, and he's handsome, yeah. But also he was very nice when he came
he
in the studio.
Yeah.
Super good dude, yeah.
Jordana Brewster is 30 years old today. One of my favorites on television these days, Stana Katic. We've had her in from Castle, plays Detective Kate Beckett on that show. She's 32 years old. Actor Tom Welling, who I don't think... Have we spoken to Tom Welling from Smallville? Have we ever talked to
him?
We
have. It's been a long time, though.
I love him. I'm still loving that show. He's 33 years old today.
It makes you happy.
He does make me happy. T-Boz of TLC is 39. Kevin James, actor and comedian, is 45. Jet Li celebrates his 47th birthday. Roger Taylor of Duran Duran is 50. And comedian and actress Carol Burnett is 77 years old today. And she's got some lovely plastic surgery on display. She really she's not a slut.
She's a very nice lady. Just your chin
she's slipped a legend, but she needs to somewhere put down the scalpel.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Very excited to welcome back to the program Brian Posehn, very funny guy from the Sarah Silverman Show and his own stand-up and hilarious heavy metal tribute songs. Brian, how are you, my friend?
Good. How's it going?
Great to talk to you. Congratulations on Farts and Wiener Jokes coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
So you're expanding your appeal a little bit, going highbrow now this time around?
Yeah. I'm trying to get the Smarties on board. I'm going for massive members with this one.
Exactly. So you did Live in Nerd Rage last year, and this one you've been putting together over the course of the last few months. You've been kind of taping like all your shows? Is that how you do it? Then you just pick the best bits?
Yeah, I recorded it about a year ago now. What took me so long was to get the songs all done and get my friends to sign off on them. So it took a little longer than I wanted it to. But
Let's talk about these songs, because people who know you as a very funny actor, they've seen you in a bunch of stuff in TV and movies, and they know you as a comedian, they may not know that you are also probably a bigger music fan than you are a fan of comedy, it seems like to me sometimes.
Oh, for sure, yeah. No, I'm way more impressed when I get to meet metal guys than when I get to meet somebody who tells fart jokes also, you know.
Where did your love for metal start? How old were you when you realized that you'd been bitten by the metal bug?
Well, the first band was Kiss, which a lot of people don't, still think that they're metal. But that was the first one in because I loved the theatrics and all that. And then, I just went heavier and heavier. It was AC/DC, Judas Priest, and then Iron Maiden. And then as things got faster in the early 80s, I just was totally on board for it. I was around for a bunch of great music.
But how crazy for you to be such a fan, and now because you have been talking about it so much and you've been, kind of involved in the scene, you're kind of accepted as one of the metal guys now. I mean, now you're actually making music with these guys that you used to, admire from afar.
No, it's completely surreal. I mean, I just did the Metal Gods Awards, the Golden Gods Awards out in L.A., and I got to perform with Scott Ian before Rob Zombie and just all these, Dio's there and Ozzy Osbourne's there. It's insane that I'm like kind of welcomed in by those guys. It's very weird for me. But
do you convince yourself that you're actually good at it when you're doing it?
No. I know. The only thing I'm good at is writing silly lyrics. As far as the actual performing of the song, I have no business being on stage. But
it's a lot
of fun for me. I'm kind of the special ed kid that gets to perform with, I'm the Make-A-Wish kid that gets to perform with his favorite metal bands.
We've got a clip of More Metal Than You, which is one of the songs. Of course, there's a lot of comedy, but then also a few songs on Fart and Wiener Jokes from Brian Posehn out tomorrow. Before we hear the clip, tell me who's on this track.
Well, I wrote it with Scott Ian from Anthrax, and then we had two guys that had played on my last record with me, John Tempesta. He's the drummer for Rob Zombie and Testament, and then Joey Vera played bass. And then I had a friend from Mark Morton from Lamb of God played a solo on it. And then Brendan Small from Metalocalypse, a good friend, another comedy metal nerd. He did a
Psycho Mike, how jealous are you right now, Psycho Mike, because you're listening to Brian talk about this?
I can't even put into words how jealous I am that you can just, make phone calls and gather up that that murderer's row of metal.
It's pretty cool. And, like, I have guys that are like, hey, why didn't you use me on this record? Like, really great. Like, guys from Slipknot going, hey, why didn't you call me? So it's pretty cool. I can do a full record down the road at some point if I decide to do that.
That's hilarious. Well, if you love, you know, like Spinal Tap and stuff like that, you'll definitely love what Brian is doing. Here's More Metal Than You. Let's play a piece of it from Fart and Wiener Jokes now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You're telling me you're metal, but not compared to me. I'm Slayer and you're number either 7 Mary 3. Metal's not a competition, yes it is for you. You may think you're metal, but I'm more metal than you. Bruce Dickinson is my co-pilot, I'm more metal than you. Like Daniel before the movie, I'm more metal than you. King Diamond sent me a Christmas card, I'm more metal than you. I had my chair in Oswald, I'm more metal than you.
How many different classic metal riffs do you have on that song, by the way?
It's Scott. He's the genius. Like, he threw in a couple of, yeah, I mean, there's like, there's Metallica, there's Slayer, there's Pantera. Who knows who else he drew from. But
it's what
I asked him to do. I mean, I wanted it to sound like a classic thrash song, but also have elements from other ones, yeah.
It's hilarious. When you go on YouTube and you look up Brian Posehn's song, you'll see some of the really retarded metalhead guys going, hey, man, that guy ripped off Dio. I mean, they don't get that you're kind of paying tribute to. I mean,
no,
they think that
I
you're
know.
Out there. It's hilarious.
I get that all the time. I do a joke about Slayer, but it's totally lovingly about Slayer because I'm, you know, one of the biggest Slayer fans there is. And I'll always get Slayer fans going, dude, why are you making fun of Slayer? And I'm like, well, you're not listening.
Exactly. Brian is going to be at the Improv in Irvine, California, by the way, this weekend. The album is Fart and Wiener Jokes. It's out tomorrow. Now, I hate to end on a sad note, Brian, but from everything I read from you and others, it sounds like we've seen our last new Sarah Silverman show on Comedy Central. Sounds like you guys are done.
I hope that's not true, but yeah, that's what we're all feeling. I mean, we haven't gotten the official word yet, but it just looks bleak. Although if Matt and Trey get killed,
you guys can move up in the time slot, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they kind of, I don't want to say jerk you around, but didn't they kind of make some changes with how they were running the show in the last few weeks, too? It seems like they've kind of moved it around a little bit.
Yeah, well, that was because our ratings, we weren't doing well. But I think they've got to figure out a new rating system because people are watching the show, but people just watch it different ways now. And it's just hard for them, I guess, to quantify exactly how many people are watching it when people are going to Hulu or going wherever else they're going. But right. it's hurting us. I mean, people love our show, and then, you know, they're going to be surprised when we're gone. But if they're not watching it Thursday nights when it comes on, then they're the reason we're going away, you know?
It is possible, though, and as much as I love the show and have seen every episode of the Silverman Show since it debuted, it's possible that you got too weird for some people this year. This was a far-out season.
Yeah, that's true. But that came from us, like, well, you know, almost not coming back. And that came from us going, well, let's do the stuff we really want to do. This might be our last shot. And, you know, I wrote one this year. I wrote the last episode, the Holocaust Memorial episode. So we got a little grief for it, but then Matt and Trey took our heat away by going after the Muslims. So,
Well, I hope it does come back. I mean, it can't be that expensive a show to make, right? I mean, I would imagine that Comedy Central's they got to be making money off of it.
It isn't, but compared to think about all the other stuff they have on their network that's so cheap. I mean, we're really expensive compared to Tosh 2.0, where it's, you know, a couple of nerds go on the internet and go, "Hey, let's make fun of this stuff."
Yeah,
and then they shoot in front of a green screen for nothing, you know. So,
well, we're going to keep our fingers crossed. Fart and Wiener Jokes is the new album. It is from Brian Posehn. It is out everywhere tomorrow. And, of course, you can see him at the Irvine Improv if you're listening in Southern California this weekend. Definitely pick up the new album, though. It does sound hilarious. And, God, I love that song so much. I listened to it all day yesterday, Brian. Always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. We appreciate it.
You guys are the best. Thanks, man.
Hey. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 725. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. We got Weezer up for you next, and Matt Money Smith in our studio right now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Guess who's not sick now, Radio. But it's soon going to be sick.
Yeah,
me. Would that be you, Matt Money Smith? I'm sorry, man. You're walking into the den of germs here today.
Tell
I'm sorry
it,
about
man.
That. Money, of course, co-host of the Petros and Money Show on Fox Sports, heard all across this great country of ours. By the way, is it true what Psycho Mike tells me that Petros got a little bit of a wake-up call with how bad he looks these days?
is that a true story? That is one of my favorite Petros stories. Yeah, when he was doing Pros versus Joes, you know, every week he would have a handful of professional athletes that he'd hang out with and get to know. And by the end of it, you know, by the end of the week, you become kind of fast friends. Mm-hmm. And I guess before he departed, Daryl Strawberry said, "Man, P, I got to ask you a question. How old are you?" And when P told him, I think at the time he was 29, he goes, "Man." "You live in hard."
Oh, no. Wow. And Daryl Strawberry was a meth head, right?
Coke addict, actually.
Coke addict, yeah.
Coke
that's
head.
Hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he probably did a little crack in there as well. But, yeah, I said, when Daryl Strawberry tells you you're living hard, you
oh my God.
You take a step back and
exactly.
figure out what's going on there.
It's like Perfecto. Courtney Love telling you you're drinking too hard.
Yes, exactly.
All right, there's so much. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches for sports fans right now. I can't even imagine what it's like a guy like you who really literally can say, "Honey, I got to watch this for work." But I don't know how you catch up with all the sports that go on a weekend these days, with all the playoffs happening, with the NBA and with the NHL, with all the baseball, with the football draft this weekend. It's crazy how much stuff is happening.
And it's funny, you know, when you consider postseason, and that is supposed to be the ultimate, you know, viewing experience, playoffs, win or go home, every game matters. The NFL draft just crushed everything in its path. Just a giant bowling ball with butter knives coming out of it, just rolling through everything in its way. It's funny, you know, just dudes announcing other dudes' names is apparently more compelling than playoff basketball. But it is.
Unbelievable. What'd you think of the Tim Tebow thing?
You know, the thing about the NFL is every player that's selected has a team that just likes that guy. And it's that simple. You know, I think this guy is going to be great, whether he's taken in the first round or the fifth round or an undrafted free agent. We think this guy can make our team. And the higher you go, the more they like you. So all it, you know, for whatever the draft pundits or the talking heads or you or I or Lisa thought about Tim Tebow, the Denver Broncos liked him and think he's going to be a great quarterback and think they can do things with him. So that's why they took him so high. And you know, the thing is, when you do something like that, you know, you put yourself, I mean, put it this way. Most people are content with being middle management, right? You just kind of fly under the radar. You make a good salary. Don't do anything that makes a lot of noise and hope you collect that check forever, right?
Right.
A lot of head coaches kind of just take the pick that you're supposed to take and say, "Well, what the hell, man? It's where the guy was slotted. I took the guy I was supposed to take because he didn't pan out. It's not my problem. You know, talk to the guy above me. Go to the GM." But this is a situation where the Denver Broncos head coach, Josh McDaniels, is now tied to this guy. And if Tim Tebow does not pan out, when you pass up guys like Jimmy Clausen and Colt McCoy, decorated college quarterbacks,
yeah,
you're going to lose your job. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You will lose your job if Jimmy Clausen and Colt McCoy are great and Tim Tebow is not. So that's what that move was.
But it does seem like a good fit, not just for the Broncos, but for a guy like Tim Tebow, who's not going to go to a party town. He's never going to play for New Orleans or Oakland or someplace like that. He needs to go someplace that's kind of placid and quiet and safe, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We had we talked to a couple different guys, and we talked to Tebow before, and he's a really nice kid. And I think it's impossible not to pull for him, whatever your position on religion and witnessing and things like that might be. He's really a great kid, and he's not fake. He is who he is. He doesn't hide it. Is very proud of who he is, but you know, some guys that we talk to just say, "Man, Tebow's different. He's just a different dude." You know, guys that hung out with him and either played with him at Florida or were with him at the Heisman Trophy ceremonies, they just say he's a different dude. And when you talk to football players, you know, the one thing you really don't want in a locker room is different dudes, because there's so many guys. It's such a violent game. Everyone feels like crap after every practice and every game that you kind of want everyone to just fit right in. And when you have someone different that's, you know, proselytizing or whatever he may be doing and trying to kind of, you know, I don't want to say push himself on you, but that's just the kind of guy he is. "Hey, man, I really love you. I just want you to know that I've got your back and God's got your back, and you might be down now, but tomorrow's going to be another day."
Oh, wow.
I don't know how that's going to work.
Interesting. All right, let's turn our attention briefly to, wow, look at the time already.
Already?
I know, crazy, right? I watched a lot of playoff basketball over the weekend.
Okay.
And the highlight reel you can make out of D. Wade and the highlight reel you can make out of LeBron James. Unbelievable the level that these guys are playing at. LeBron James was making shots without even looking. I mean, it looked like from 30 yards out. The guy has never been hotter than he was yesterday. What's up with that dude?
Yeah, and, you know, think about D. Wade, you know, a guy that's not in the playoffs, and Chris Bosh, another guy that's on a very good team, Joe Johnson. I mean, that's why for the last 3 years, ever since they signed those 3-year deals, everyone's been talking about the summer of 2010. I mean, never before will you have an opportunity. You know, the last time we saw this is when Shaquille O'Neal was a free agent for the Orlando Magic, and Jerry West, brilliant general manager that he is, figured out a way to get him. And that's what's happening right now with all of these teams that are watching LeBron. Every New York Knicks fan, Chicago Bulls fan, Los Angeles Clipper fan, anyone that's got that max contract available is losing their mind with every shot either one of those guys makes, because you might have forgotten how great they are until the postseason comes along. And then they do it on that stage, and it reminds you, holy crap, LeBron just had a triple-double, shot 60% from the floor, and was making hook shots from half court to give the Cavs a victory. It truly is a guy that I've never seen before. I mean, LeBron is a unique case. We've never seen anything like him.
You have to put him in the conversation of the greatest NBA players of all time, right? I mean, he's got to be in the top three, right?
When it's all said and done, yeah. I mean, just think of how young he is. I think he's 25.
And I mean, by the way, he's aged a lot living in Cleveland for whatever reason. I saw him in the postgame yesterday. I swear the dude looks 40. He really does.
It's you know what? Maybe it's time him to get out of there. Maybe it's just time to get out of Cleveland. You know, get some of that delicious Lake Michigan water and play for the Chicago Bulls. Yeah,
we're gonna take a break. We're gonna come back when we do. I want to hear your predictions for how the second round of the playoffs are gonna happen in the NBA, and also explain the Oklahoma City Thunder, who I'm sure most Lakers fans were looking past, hoping to get to Dallas or somebody.
Oops.
I mean, this has got to be a real wake up call for them as well. And so much more. Matt Money Smith is here from the Petros and Money Show on Fox Sports Radio. We'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Mike Shinoda from Lincoln Park joins us later on the program. Also, we're going to be talking to a guy. Hey, former sports guy Matt Money Smith.
Yeah.
You should talk to our guest that's coming up in about 20 minutes. He runs a Southern California Quidditch League.
I'm going to let you guys go ahead and run with that. I'll see how it goes. And then maybe
not quite real sports enough for you. And
they actually fly around on brooms. I mean,
gravitationally
challenged, right? Play a little Quidditch out there.
I do wonder what it is they're doing that they are going to call Quidditch.
Is it just a bunch of guys running around with brooms stuck between their legs?
That's what
I'm afraid is. It's like they pretend they're on ponies. I'm afraid of what it could be.
They speak with English accents as they run around the field. I mean, what the hell?
We're going to find out how many times this guy gets beaten up when we talk to him in about 20 minutes. That's the voice of Matt Money Smith, of course, from the Petros and Money Show. You can follow Money on the Fox Sports West website, too. And you are live blogging during Laker playoff games, as I understand.
Yeah, I'll be doing a live chat from the Staples Center tomorrow at foxsportswest.com. Me and Norm Nixon. How about that? Storm and Norman and me just right there, shoulder to shoulder.
Gangsters now, ever.
Everybody watches the Lakers. They're one of the teams that gets ratings nationwide, and they are currently the champions of the NBA.
Yep.
So I think there are some people who are surprised, A, that Oklahoma City has a team, and B, that it is now 2-2 with the Los Angeles Lakers. What's going on?
It's a mess, man. You know, I think it's very curious the way Game 4 played out. You know, there had been so much over the close of the season and the first three games about Kobe, you know, just being busted up. His back is hurt. His feet are hurt. He's got a busted pinky, a messed up index finger on his shooting hand. And his percentages, I mean, just bluntly, are brutal. He's shooting 30% from the floor. I think he took 10 shots and missed 8 of them in Game 3, a game they lost. And, you know, meanwhile, Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum combined are averaging about 30 to 35 points a game, are averaging 25 rebounds and shooting about 65%. So, conventional wisdom says, how about giving those guys the ball a little bit more? And maybe Kobe takes a few fewer shots. And that way, things will all work out, right? Until you feel better, Kobe, that's all. Guy doesn't take a shot for the first, I think it was 15 minutes of the game on Saturday. And, you know, he and Coach Jackson say, well, that was by design. He was just taking what the defense was giving him. And it's like, look, you don't prove your point like that. You know, don't act like a 5-year-old and say, fine, you don't like the way I shoot the ball. You think I shoot low? Well, watch what happens when I don't shoot at all. You know, that's not the compromise. The compromise is don't take 10 shots, take 5, you know, and make sure they're all great. And sadly, that's what I read into what happened on Saturday. And they got blown the F out on Saturday.
Not close at all.
Disheartening as a fan to watch. I mean, that was an ass
whooping. An embarrassment, yeah. I mean, look, to take the quote from Phil Jackson from the Houston series last year, I mean, give him some effing credit, you know? I mean, for real. And Oklahoma City's good. They're young. They're athletic. They have a point guard that is impossible to slow down. Former UCLA guy and losing her high school dude, Russell Westbrook. Kevin Durant's a superstar. He's one of the 5 best players in the league, so they're good. But the Lakers just aren't playing good basketball.
Here's my thing, Money. I don't think anybody's surprised that Russell Westbrook is giving the Lakers backcourt problems. I mean, everybody kind of suspected that was going to happen going into the series. I'm seeing them get out-muscled. get kind of thrown around and out hustled in the post and down low. And that's what's been shocking to me.
Well, that was the the big negative for the Thunder was they had no size, and yet they have devised a defensive scheme to sort of negate that deficiency, which is, they front Powell, they get behind Powell, they don't allow an entry pass. Now, think about this, right? So it's the game of basketball, and all you got to do is throw a ball about 15 feet to a guy that's 3 inches taller than everyone else on the floor, all right? That's what your job is. Powell had to have a 20-minute conversation with Ron Artest about exactly how he's supposed to do that. How he can get the ball in the corner and manage to pass it to the tallest guy on the floor whose arms are outstretched so he can actually take a high-percentage shot. I don't think they're going to lose. 7-game series, best team always wins. And the Lakers, as impressive as the Thunder have been, the Lakers are the better team. They'll get through it, and hopefully they'll figure it out before they got to face Utah or Denver.
Right. Who has surprised you with how, besides Oklahoma, who has surprised you with how they're playing in the playoffs so far?
Well, it's funny. I said prior to the start, I said the great thing about the NHL is a lot of times these lower seeds win. The problem with the NBA is it rarely happens. And now the Lakers are struggling. The Spurs, the 7 seed, are up 3-1 on the 2 seed Mavericks. And the 5 seed, Jazz, are up on the 4 seed Nuggets 3-1. So I think, the Jazz are tough for the Lakers. They've always had problems with just, the standard flex offense, regular pick and rolls, and that's what Jerry Sloan just runs into the ground. And they're going to be another tough out. And then if they face the Spurs or the Mavericks, if they can come back in the conference finals, that's going to be a tough go as well. I mean, it is not an easy path in the West. Every single team won 50 games. And I guess the interesting statistic for this year's playoff is it's the closest in record, in regular season record, the number 1 and the number 8 seed has been since 1983. The Lakers have 57 wins. Yeah, and 50 wins for the Thunder. So it's a tough conference to try to get through.
It's shocking how long the NBA playoffs are.
It's brutal.
We're playing in April right now. We're well into the first round of the playoffs, and they don't crown a champion until June. Right?
Mid-June. Mid-June is when they crown the champion. Yeah, it's quite ridiculous. The first round is 7 games, and it used to be 5, and they would just get things moving. You'd only have a day off in between every single game. Even if you were traveling, there'd just be a day off. But now,
sometimes there's three days off.
Now you can go up to 3 days on travel days because they want to keep, 2 to 3 games every single night on one of these networks to keep them happy. The old 40 games and 40 nights thing on TNT.
Well, you can talk basketball with Matt Money Smith, your own self, during the game at foxsportswest.com. And that is going to be, it's tomorrow night at Staples Center, right?
Yes.
The next game.
And that is correct.
And it goes back to Oklahoma either way, right?
That is correct.
All right. Good times. Great to see you, man. Thanks for stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show.
Always good to be here. Feel better, guys, huh?
Thank you.
Hey!
106.7 KROQ is KROQ at 7:55. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What you talking about, Garmin?
Coming next is Bob Wilson. Watch out. He's coming up next.
Sorry, Michael Taylor.
I just can't get past Lisa
Michael
May.
Taylor sucks. Right.
Summer magic days. Just magical.
We'll be taking you through right till 7, so have a great afternoon and keep it here at Magic FM.
Okay, we will. Yeah. Thank you, Lisa.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office on the Showbiz Beat. How to Train Your Dragon, still number 1 at the box office. $15 million made it so. The kids love dragons. I've always said that. Well, not always.
Don't remember you ever said that.
I've never said that. But still, it made $15 million and it was number 1. The Backup Plan, the new Jennifer Lopez movie, came in at number 2.
No, I get it, because she's got a huge ass, so they called it The Backup Plan.
Yeah.
No, it's actually about her getting pregnant as a single woman. And then finding true love after the fact.
You'll say that's a lot of money for a pornography. Really
brought it in. $12.3 million. It's funny. There's a lot of movies on the Cineplex screens all over this country of ours. And you would think, so many films, so many popular films like How to Train Your Dragon and Date Night and The Losers, Kick-Ass, right. Clash of the Titans. You would think they wouldn't even have room to put Jennifer Lopez's movie up on the screens. They wouldn't even have room in the Cineplexes. They wouldn't have, literally would not have the room for her. But it turns out, I've done a little research, and I called up some of the theater owners, the chains, Pacific Theaters, and some of the bigger ones. Wow. And they say to me, it turns out,
yes,
there's always room for J-Lo.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, my God,
God, right. I almost didn't do it. Yeah. I almost didn't do it. I thought, is this in bad taste? But you know what? I went for it. I went for it, and I am so glad I did. Oh,
happy
worth
Monday.
It.
Happy
totally
Monday.
Worth it.
Happy Monday, everybody.
What?
No!
We can't play me off.
Keyboard can't play me off.
Yeah.
That ain't right. Date Night was number three at the box office this weekend, then the losers, Kick-Ass, Clash of the Titans, Death at a Funeral, Oceans, The Last Song, and Alice in Wonderland coming in at number 10.
Ralph. Period.
Oh, come on.
Ralph. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Ralph.
Britney Spears' dad is still running her life these days. AbsoluteNow.com reports that Jamie Spears isn't too happy that his daughter is traveling outside of the house without wearing a bra. So he has put his foot down and said there is a mandate that she must wear a bra at all times in public.
Isn't she like 30? Yes. I mean, let her decide how she dresses.
But she's a little slow. She's a special ed kid. And so dad has to run her life. And so he has decided that she no longer will be photographed outside of the house without a bra on.
How does that affect us? Are those big old having two kids, boobies flopping around all right? Or is that a bad look?
That's a bad,
look?
Bad, bad thing.
It's a bad look. We don't want her to put a bra on.
We need her in a big brassiere.
Jamie apparently is so serious about this, he has fired one of her security guards because he let her roam free while letting the girls roam free. And he did not comply
so
with the new ultimatum.
Bar her from going outside until she puts on a bra.
These are the rules. You want to go outside, God. You put the bra on. And
what?
And the minions, the hanger-ons that surround her, must also comply or else they would be out of a job.
Okay, I understand he may have his weird take on what he wants her to do, but what's a security guy supposed to do? She's a multi-millionaire.
She says, I'm sorry, Ms. Spears. You're not allowed to leave until you put a bra on. Look, they work for Jamie. He runs the cash. Yeah. She doesn't sign any checks. So you want to make dad happy more than you want to make...
Listen here, Brittany, I know you want that chai latte, but you're going to have to put a brassiere on before I let you out the house.
I'll fry you up some cheese.
Brittany had a comment on the story.
Oh, good.
They don't stand up anymore, and they're not firm anymore.
Yeah,
but
right.
I think for my age, they're pretty good, and I'm satisfied with them. I think they're fine.
Wrong.
She does not sound good for her age.
No, she doesn't. She sounds like
cigarettes.
A Jewish housewife from Brooklyn. And since we have money, Matt Smith here.
Yes.
Thought we'd address a little showbiz / sports rumor. Now that Kim Kardashian has apparently broken up with Reggie Bush. Rumor has it she has taken up with another world-famous athlete by the name of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Ooh. Come on.
For those of you who don't follow the womanly sport of soccer, he is apparently one of the greatest players in the world. And
best-looking dude in the world.
Word is that they are now a couple. Matt Money Smith, had you heard anything about this rumor?
I have not heard that, but
really?
That's remarkable. He is probably the most popular athlete in the world. Yeah, I think
he's a total Gaylord.
He's, Gaylord, I think, as well. Does his mascaras the eyes and, looks pretty good.
Apparently, Cristiano has warned Kim they don't want to get, she doesn't want to think too seriously about him until after the World Cup this summer because, he's got to focus on that. But they are spending time together, and apparently he is deep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Deep in like with her.
They say he can. Go deep. That's the word.
If he's got the equipment, that's one thing. But he does not strike me as the type of guy who would destroy it like Ray J did. You know, I think she wears the pants in that bag.
How do you like this? Do you want it? Say you love me.
Goal! Does it every time, can you imagine?
Cristiano. Yeah.
Penalty kick. Today's celebrity birthday is Carol Burnett. Remember the old Carol Burnett show back in the day? Her and Harvey Korman and Tim Conway.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the laughs we had, didn't we?
We did.
Back then?
Most definitely.
When life was simple.
The dentist skit, arguably one of the greatest ever.
So funny. 77 years old today. Woo! Duran Duran's drummer Roger Taylor is 50 years old. Jet Li.
Hey!
Celebrates his 47th birthday. Actor? Comedian? Kevin James is 45 years old. Jose Pacias of Incubus. Celebrates his 34th birthday today. Actor Tom Welling. Clark Kent, Kal-El of Smallville fame is 33. Stana Katic from Castle is 32. Jordana Brewster celebrates her 30th birthday. And Channing Tatum from G.I. Joe is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. A terrifying story, by the way, from a Kevin and Bean listener who was trapped in an elevator. No joke, Ralph. You didn't hear this guy. We'll play a clip in a moment.
No.
with a guy who had to poop.
Oh.
Okay, that's all I'm going to tell you. So we'll tell you that story and take your calls on being trapped in an elevator coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday this weekend in Moorpark, California. Moorpark was the host of the Southwestern Cup Quidditch Tournament. You guys familiar with the Quidditch? You know what the Quidditch is?
I've seen the movies. They fly around on brooms and they chase a shuttlecock or something.
Here is the, watch your language, here is the game as described in the Harry Potter movies.
Quidditch is easy enough to understand. Each team has seven players, three chasers, two beaters, one keeper, and the seeker. That's you. There are three kinds of balls. This one's called the quaffle. Now, the chasers handle the quaffle and try to put it through one of those three hoops. The keeper, that's me, defends the hoops. Not a seeker.
The golden snitch.
I like this ball.
Ah, you like it now. Just wait. It's wicked fast and damn near impossible to see.
What do I do with it?
You catch it before the other team's seeker. You catch this, the game is over.
Oh, wait a minute. I lost you at the beaters.
Hey, for someone who hasn't seen the movies, that sounds like straight up porn to me. But I do know one thing.
You like this ball, don't you? It's wicked fast. Grab my ball.
Yeah. And the golden snatch and everything. I mean, it's just crazy. So how do you play Quidditch in real life? Let's find out from one of the men behind the tournament this weekend in Moorpark. We welcome to the program Harrison Hommel on the Kevin and Bean Show. Do we call you Harrison or Harry or Professor Dumbledore or what?
Can we do Harrison? Is that all right?
Harrison.
Yes.
Absolutely. How the hell do you play Quidditch on Earth in real life?
You know, Oliver Wood did a very good job, actually. You got three chasers moving the ball through the hoop. It's the same thing. It's pretty much like soccer with your hands. So we use a deflated volleyball. We don't use the quaffle. And that ball goes through the hoop. There's a keeper on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
Beaters, instead of the balls flying around, wield red rubber dodgeballs, which they're throwing at members of the opposing team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you get hit, you have to run back to your hoops. It's basically a time penalty. Now, the snitch is represented by a person who is usually like a track guy or like a wrestling guy, somebody who's built, who can run. And it's basically tag at the collegiate level.
Okay.
It's tag at the collegiate level. Oh, below me.
You got a problem with that, you can go yourself.
All right, stand by. How popular is this Quidditch? This isn't just you and your little role-playing geek friends, right? This is a nationwide movement, this Quidditch is, in a lot of colleges, right?
It is. There's a lot of role-playing nerd friends, but
yeah.
At schools across the nation. There are 200 teams in the U.S. and around the world. In the IQA, which is the Intercollegiate Quidditch Association.
Well, sure it is. Of course it is.
Just stop. Harrison, this isn't Quidditch, Harrison. Are you flying on a broom at any time during this game?
You are on a broom. You are not flying.
No, you're not. Then it's not Quidditch, because this game does not exist in real life and you are not playing it.
I would argue that that's not true.
But you'd be wrong if you argued that point.
But I am.
Now, when you say you're on a broom, do you put a broom between your legs and run around with it like it's My Little Pony?
Very similar to My Little Pony, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You
it's
really
My Little
do?
Pony. But
stop
you
it.
You guys are 22 years old playing My Little Come Pony, on. Harrison. All right. What sport would you say it is most like for men? Is it most like rugby or what? Lacrosse?
It plays like lacrosse and dodgeball going on at the same time, and then it's full contact. So,
why not play lacrosse or play dodgeball instead then?
Because it's not nearly as magical.
Oh my God.
Wow. Harrison.
The thing about this sport is that you get the sports people. You get people to play lacrosse or soccer in high school and are now like into Quidditch, but you also get the Harry Potter nerds and the people that have read, and they got to come together and do something.
Yeah. And by full contact, you're talking about afterwards in the showers, right?
Do you have a lot of friends who play Quidditch, or
wait,
nobody...
just stop that question right at the beginning. Do you have a lot of friends, Harrison?
I just wondered if you sometimes you show up for one of these games and you look around and you go, wow, I wouldn't want to hang out with any of these people. And they're thinking the same thing about you. I mean, do you pretty much just go and it's embarrassing and you do it and then you go home and weep or what?
Not very much weeping. We don't weep too much, actually. It's actually really fun. And I've met a lot of really cool people through it.
Yeah.
How many people showed up to watch your games this weekend?
Probably 50 to 100, I would say.
That surprises me.
That's just onlookers. That wasn't people playing.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Wow. And what happens now? Do you win and move on? Is there another tournament? Are you going for some national championship with your team or what?
There is a World Cup that is held in Vermont every year.
Every year. How many years has this been going on, Harrison?
I've been around since 2005.
2005.
This is shocking. This is one of those. This is like when we discovered the furries. This is one of those things that goes on completely off the radar from the mainstream, and you go, these people exist.
We are not furries, sir. I cannot.
Right.
No,
I know.
No, we know that.
I know,
no.
I know,
it's
I know
a
that,
subculture
but I'm saying,
we had no idea about is what we're saying.
I understand.
But Harrison, you understand what's blowing our minds is that your vote in the presidential election counts the same as mine. That's what I can't get my head around. They let you go to the polls and choose the next president.
They do, yeah.
Well, Harrison puts a hat on, though, and it tells him who to choose.
Do you have a special type of broom that you can use? Like, is there a special Quidditch broom, or do you just saw off a normal kitchen broom?
You know, in the beginning when we were poor, we played BYOB, so you bring your own broom.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
How we do it now, there are official Quidditch brooms that you can buy.
No, there are not.
There are.
No, they aren't. No one makes those.
No, I know because
exist.
They have official beer pong cups and beer pong like paddles. I wanted to know if there was the same thing with Quidditch. I had this weird feeling. So where does one go to buy a Quidditch broom?
The internet, obviously.
Okay.
Obviously.
Wow. Don't obviously me, dude.
You know, where else are these people going to do anything? They do everything on the internet.
I have to give Harrison all the credit in the world for coming on, knowing that this is a tough sell for people who aren't into it. And I also have to say that he has realigned my thinking that when the Winter Olympics come around, I can no longer make fun of curling. Now curling, seriously, is the machoest, manliest sport in the world.
Oh, Harrison. I weep for you.
So, good times?
Yeah, absolutely. Good times had by all.
If someone wanted to get involved in Quidditch, is there a website or somewhere they can go to get more information?
College.
Saw it coming
in time.
And still enjoyed it. No, I apologize. That's Psycho Mike just being funny, Harrison. One more time. What's that website, please?
College.
I'm
sorry.
All right, but seriously,
seriously,
that was funny and all, but come on. Now let the guy get out his plug. out of my hands, Harrison. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Kevin and Bean Show. Getting a lot of emails with pictures of people playing Quidditch. I'm telling you.
Stop it. They're not playing Quidditch. Unless they're flying, those aren't photos of people playing Quidditch.
This Harvard girls Quidditch team looks like a pretty good deal, too, by the way. If you got to watch Quidditch, I'm saying
instead of playing with that, we play with a deflated volleyball.
Didn't Harrison sound way hipper than you expected he was going to sound, though?
No.
He sounded like he was in on the joke a little bit.
Arrogant nerds.
All right, let's talk about one of some people's greatest fears. My wife, for instance, will not go in the ocean because she's convinced that she will get eaten by a shark, even though the chances are unbelievably remote. That just happens to be her fear. She doesn't like going in water where she can't see what's there because she's convinced bad things will happen. Others are terrified of being in elevators because they're convinced that one day it is going to stop on them. Now, it's never happened to me, but apparently it does happen to people. And we're going to be looking for your phone calls if you've ever been stuck in an elevator, particularly for a long time. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Omar, this happened to you just recently?
It happened to me about 2 weeks ago. I was in a hospital. And you know hospitals are like freaking mazes.
Yes. Yes.
So I was visiting a friend, and I was trying to get it was me, my wife, and my in-laws. We're trying to get to the elevators, and I was Mr. Oh, I know exactly where it is, you know. Mm-hmm. So we go, and there's elevators, and they open up fine, and we get in, and we're on the sixth floor, and it moves down to about the fourth floor, and the doors are kind of trying to open, but they don't exactly open all the way, and then they slam shut again, and then the freaky part is that the elevator started dropping about 4 inches, but it felt like it was dropping a foot.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started moving up and down. So at that point, we're freaking out.
Yeah.
Possessed. We're freaking out. We're like, what the heck is going on, right? So we try calling the little fire guy, and that's not working.
The little fire guy.
Well, you know, it goes, I guess, directly to the fire department. A phone down there, right?
Okay.
So we're like, it didn't stop working.
The little fire guy.
Yeah, you know, sorry.
Fire department.
There's a tiny guy.
There's a little guy living in there.
Hi, how you doing? I'm here to help.
So then we start ringing the alarm. There's an alarm button to push.
Right.
That, nothing. We're like, and then all this time, about 5 minutes go by, the elevator's still moving up and down, up and down. So then finally I'm like, at this point we're like, this is bogus. So I force open the door.
Oh,
okay?
Man of action.
Okay, I force open the door, and there's a bunch of medical equipment blocking the door. We're in a freight elevator.
Oh.
And they're supposed to be blocked off. They haven't been used, I found out, in 6 years. Okay? But wow. For some reason, it opened for us. So tons of elevator. But at this point, when I jammed the door opens, the elevator stopped moving. But I was freaked out. I didn't want to go through just in case
it came slamming down.
I'm like, dude, I'm going to get cut in half.
Yeah. I've seen that happen.
Okay? Have you?
in movies.
So I have my father-in-law jam the door open. Uh-huh. So I'm Mr. He-Man, okay?
I hope he likes
so
you.
I go. There's a bunch of medical equipment blocking the door. So I go like a football player. Bam! I tackle all the equipment. It falls all over, right? So we get out of the elevator, and we end up in the OR. There's doctors like scrubbing up.
What?
I swear to God, dude. We open up. We're like in the OR. The doctor's scrubbing out. They look at us like, what the heck is this, dude? So they escort us out. But can you believe that?
You should be arrested.
It's insane.
You should be arrested and charged.
What I do?
It has never happened to me, but there are two places where I am very aware of the people around me. One is when I'm on an airplane. You know, we've all done this. You watch the people board the airplane, and mm-hmm. you think, all right, I could take him. I could take him. That guy might give me trouble. Him I could take. Because, you know, you want to be prepared in the event of an actual, you know, in-air emergency. And the other is when you get in an elevator. Every single time I get in an elevator, I look around and I go, all right, if the elevator's going to stop, would this be a good group to be stuck with or no? And, of course, inevitably, you're in an elevator that's packed with lots of fat people, and that would be the worst thing in the world if you got stopped, right?
Well, yeah. Well, if there's people in an elevator with you, it's a bad deal for you.
But, I mean, it never happens when it's just you and a bunch of models on their way to a photo shoot. I mean, that's not when the elevator's going to stop. All right.
I don't get the fear, though. What's the worst that can happen when you're stuck in an elevator? Other than just being stuck in an elevator. You got to wait until they get you.
Funny you should bring that up, Ralph, because we got a call a couple of weeks ago on Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067. Same number to take your calls now. Listen to what happened to this dude.
So me and my girlfriend went to the hospital, visited her friend, had a baby. We were in the elevator. We're going to the lower level, and the elevator gets stuck. We were stuck in there for an hour and a half.
No kidding.
He was there with us. Apparently, was on his way to the restroom and couldn't hold it in. It had to end up crapping in a bag.
Not in the elevator with you and your girlfriend in there?
It was disgusting. He was embarrassed, and I felt bad for him. But it was like, dude, really? Now you got to do this now?
DJ Omar Khan.
Same story.
Hey, what?
This guy was familiar with you. So you asked, what's the worst that could happen? How about a guy 3 feet from you taking a poo? How about that?
That is bad. I'm more afraid of people taking poos, though, than I am being stuck in an elevator. So I guess it all comes crashing together.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. If you were stuck in an elevator, and if you were living it up when you're going down, we want to hear from you.
Give me a second to mark that.
Your calls when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Gorillaz, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and the Dirty Heads featuring Rome all coming up on 106.7 K-Rock, the world-famous K-Rock at 8:38. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. We're talking about getting stuck in an elevator.
I'd rather be stuck in an elevator with Nathan Lane, Gilbert Gottfried, Carrot Top, Sean Hayes. Well, you get the picture.
That would not be a fun time being stuck in an elevator. We're looking for your calls. Has it happened to you? Let's start with line one. This is going to be Adam calling us about his experience stuck in it sounds like a very bad situation. Adam, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hello.
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 So I was at Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that big red observation tower that's there?
Yes.
I got stuck in the elevator about three quarters of the way up there for 2 hours once in August, and it was like 110 in the elevator.
See, that's a situation could actually be harmful.
The situation was in the elevator with Adam?
Oh, Gilligan. You must have been sweating your ass off.
Yeah, it was pretty funny, though, because there was this lady that went up there with some of her friends that talked her into going that was afraid of heights and claustrophobia.
Oh, God.
Was just a blithering idiot the whole time, and that was funny.
Hey, I would imagine that even if you're not claustrophobic when you get into that elevator, once you've been there for a few minutes in a packed elevator, you would get that way. I mean, that would be terrifying, I think.
I think so, too.
Especially once it gets hot and you feel the heat rising and you start to dehydrate. Yeah, that'd be bad.
Thank you, Adam. Let's try line two. Tracy is calling us. Hey, Tracy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, thanks a lot. When I was a young kid, my parents took me to an opening of a new hospital in my small town, and we went up in the elevator, and the elevator got stuck for 6.5 hours. And
dude.
A woman that was on the elevator ended up starting going into labor.
Did you deliver the baby?
The fire department came and used a stick and somehow pushed the switch and got the elevator to stop in between floors, and luckily we were at a house hospital, and they pulled her out and took her in, and she proceeded to have her baby.
That's wow. Great. How, I mean, she went into labor, like, to the point where it was painful for her, and she was there stuck in an elevator
exactly,
with no help?
Exactly, yeah. She was holding her stomach and screaming. And
oh, my God.
The tour of the new hospital, so the whole elevator was stuffed full of people.
What kind of town did you live in where the opening of the new hospital was a big tourist event?
Theo, Washington.
Honey, let's go down to the opening of the new hospital. Bring the kids.
I hear the cafeteria is off the hook.
Oh, I can't wait to ride the elevator.
Thank you for the call. Let's try David on line 7 talking about medical emergencies while stuck in an elevator. Hi, David. Welcome to the show. What happened?
Good, thanks. I got stuck in an elevator one time with about 15 people, and on the elevator was an asthmatic and a claustrophobic person. So about 15 minutes in, the asthmatic had an attack. We had to lay her down on the floor, and the claustrophobe, we had to hold her up. She stood on the handrail and held her up, so she was kind of above everyone else. But by the time the paramedics, because we called the paramedics like 15 minutes in when she had the attack, and 45 minutes later, when they finally got the door open, she was literally on her last breath, just wheezing.
Wow. Oh, my God.
That's so scary.
Were either of the chicks hot?
No.
No?
Hey, no, neither was anyone on the elevator. I was at the Houston Opera, so half the people on there were over 200 pounds.
Oh, man. Hey, what's the oxygen situation on an elevator, by the way? Is there fresh air coming in?
Yeah, it's not airtight.
Not really, but it was a freight elevator, so we had a high ceiling, so that kind of helped.
Yeah.
But there's oxygen flowing in, you know, just in the shaft.
Let me ask you.
Oh, man.
Let me ask you this, David. Since that happened to you, and I probably should be asking everybody this, does it make you take pause now when you get into an elevator, fearful that it might happen again?
Definitely. If I see a lot of people on the elevator, unfortunately, I was one of the first people on, and the last guy on, we were holding it for the last guy, and he was about a 350-pound opera singer.
He didn't say a word
the whole time. He didn't say a word in that elevator because I think he knew he put us over the limit.
Yeah, that's probably exactly what happened. Yeah, you're right. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's try Ron real quick. Ron had a little bit of drama. He's on line 4 in his experience stuck in an elevator.
Hi.
Hey, Ron, what happened, dude?
I was in college. I was studying and basically, you know, no-brainer, get in the elevator. Everything was
dude,
okay.
If you don't care about your story, how can we care about it?
I was in college.
Studying, no biggie.
Try again, Ron.
So being dropped about 11 stories and you called for help. They were like, no one was there. And then, so I broke out of it. And then when I broke out, I got yelled at by the school for, why did you break out of the elevator? You could have died.
And you're like, hey, what about the falling 11 stories in an elevator? Why don't you worry more about that than me coming out the top of the elevator?
Lawyers,
man. Quiet. Word.
And then, like, a week later, there was a doctor in Texas that got decapitated by an elevator.
Okay. Now, I'm so glad. Thank you very much, Ron. I can't stand you anymore, so I'm going to say goodbye. Let me tell you about the doctor in Texas, because somebody sent us a link to this story. He gets on an elevator, and the doors close and decapitate him.
No,
okay?
They don't.
I'm looking
How
at the story.
How does that happen?
It's right in
this
front of me.
This was not Death Race. This wasn't.
Oh, he went to the elevator with the razor doors. That's the one I stay away from.
This is Dr. Hitachi Nikoada.
Hi!
Here's the best part, though. The door suddenly closed, pinning his shoulders. His head was severed when the elevator car moved upward. Here's the best part of the story.
Oh, okay. Well, the floor took his head off, not the doors.
Yes, the floor took his head because he was stuck in the door. Right. The best part of the story, there was a female hospital employee in the elevator with him who had to stay there for 20 minutes.
Well, he's lucky that she could stop the bleeding. She could help him out.
No, he was dead. His head was gone round.
That's true, yeah.
She's stuck in an elevator with a headless corpse.
Now, after hearing this guy's name, are you sure this wasn't just a Japanese game show? Because that sounds like it's par for the course.
That's true.
That's an excellent point. You might be right, Mike. 106.7 K-Rock. His KROQ, it's 8:53.
The mics weren't on for that, were they?
I hope not. God, I hope not. Good. You're listening to the Kevin Beach.
It wouldn't be a problem if they were.
No,
big deal.
It would be our last show, though. It wouldn't be a problem,
Everybody
but it would be our last
that.
Show. Our friend Mike Shinoda.
Mike Shinoda.
From the band Linkin Park joins us in minutes to talk about what's new with him. Coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's happening?
I'll
just play whatever you
I don't
want.
Know why that
kinds
happened.
Of music was,
All right,
was going on there.
Let's pretend that didn't happen and do this.
Ah, that's right. Much better.
Much better.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Here on the Showbiz Beat, How to Train Your Dragon
continues to be a smash hit, made an additional $15 million this weekend, making it number one. Not a big take for a number one movie over a weekend, but good enough to make it number one. Second was The Backup Plan, romantic comedy, starring Jennifer Lopez. Made $12.3 million.
How was that, Lisa?
I didn't see it.
Oh, really?
That's only because you were sick. If you had been healthy, you would have gone.
I totally go.
Date Night was third at the box office. The Losers, the new action-adventure film starring Jason Scott Lee. No, Jeremy
Irons.
James
Does that look
Kaufman.
At all good?
Zoe Saldana.
I don't even know what it is.
Chris Evans.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
There
that's
it is.
His name.
Yeah, that
yes.
guy.
It looks great. I was a big fan of the comic book, and I'm looking forward to seeing the film, okay. but I have not yet seen it. Kick-Ass was fifth. Clash of the Titans, Death at a Funeral. Death at a Funeral, by the way. How bad does that look?
Well, and it's a shame because the I really
liked
the original.
The original was good. Yeah,
yeah
I liked it too.
The original wasn't my type of movie. I thought I watched it. I loved it, and this new one does not look good.
Ocean's Last Song and Alice in Wonderland rounding out your top ten at the box office this week. And Bret Michaels, of course... Lead singer of Poison.
No, he's gay.
Current contestant of Celebrity Apprentice. Of course, also the Bus of Love, or whatever that show was.
Rock of Love.
Rock of Love. The Rock of Love bus. And
yes,
all the other presentations of that show. He is in serious condition, critical condition, if you believe People.com. Suffered a major brain hemorrhage Thursday night. Was rushed to the hospital, and doctors discover bleeding at the base of his brain stem. They're still trying to find out, apparently, where the bleed is coming from. His speech is slurred, his vision is blurry, but apparently he is still remaining conscious, and they are working on him as we speak. This is just a couple of weeks after Brett had emergency appendectomy.
So, this is what everybody's been waiting for.
A lot of health issues for Brett Michaels, of course. We wish him the best.
I don't mean this as a joke at all. I mean absolutely serious.
Mm-hmm.
When you wear something on your head that restricts your blood flow to your brain, your whole adult life trying to cover up your hairline, whether it's a hat or a bandana or something like that, is there any possibility that that may have some effect on
you're
what's
aware
going on
that the bandana is not a vice.
It's not a tourniquet.
It's a
C-grip. Right, but
I'm just saying he doesn't sleep in it.
Not a tourniquet. It's okay.
I'm just saying he's got pressure on his head all the time.
You realize there's a skull underneath the tourniquet,
every
right?
Every Major League Baseball player forever would have aneurysms.
Except for the fact that they only wear those for a few hours while they're playing. He seems to be every waking minute that he's in public, he's wearing a stupid bandana.
What about Mike Reno, lead singer for Loverboy?
I'd be very concerned about my brain if I were him.
He wore
right
a bandana and a headband for many, many years.
Well,
no,
just
it has nothing to do
yet.
With it. Has nothing to do with it.
Just bad luck then.
Yes. Okay. Unreal.
Have you ever worn a bandana, Bean?
No, I've never worn. Have I ever robbed a bank? No.
We've worn pigtails. I don't know why a bandana is a weird question.
Why is that such a stretch?
And a Jamaican flag Rasta hat and and cargo shorts that come up to your navel and a whole bunch of other stuff that I wouldn't suspect.
All right. Let's not talk about me so much as the poor Bret Michaels.
Good news. The Peak is saved. You guys know about the Peak?
No.
The Peak. Coenga Peak is where the Hollywood sign is here in Los Angeles.
About that.
And apparently the Peak was going up for sale. They were going to sell off that land, and they were going to develop it and take down the Hollywood sign.
I know.
Maybe one of the biggest landmarks in the world.
Yeah.
Everyone knows
Certainly
the Hollywood
sign. Certainly
in the U.S., sign. Yeah. Well, even across the world. If you know movies and you know Hollywood, you know the Hollywood sign,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Giant letters up in the hills. They're going to sell off that land and develop it, so there was a trust put together called the Trust for Public Land, and they were trying desperately to raise enough money to buy that land and make it a public monument. And it looked like they were in dire straits. It looked like it wasn't going to happen.
<Uh-oh>. Wait, dire straits? Save the Peak? Is that what you're saying?
But at the last minute, who do you think came through and saved the Peak? Hugh Hefner.
Nice.
Did he?
Playboy owner Hugh Hefner donated $900,000.
Thank God.
Wow.
That generous donation was matched by a $500,000 matching donation by Tiffany & Company, the jewelry store. And apparently that was enough to close the deal. They have purchased the land. It will be donated to the city to become part of Griffith Park. And we will have the Hollywood sign to look up to through the smog for many, many years
Thank
to come.
Good job, man.
Good job,
I suspect,
Hugh Hefner.
As broke as California is, that there's a lot of land that is held by cities and counties and the state that they're going to look into selling off because they just can't afford to keep it all if they need the money.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Lindsay Lohan.
In the news, she has been fired from her new movie, The Other Side, because apparently, according to TMZ.com, producers didn't want to take a chance on her having problems during the filming, which, really, you can't blame them. Meanwhile, Lindsay also has some troubles. Remember that joyride she took through the streets of Malibu?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
When she got the DUI and the three guys in the back seat claimed that they were kidnapped? They were unwilling passengers on her wild ride?
That's right.
Well, those criminal issues were dropped in court, but there's still a civil matter going on. These guys are suing her, wanting monetary compensation, and a judge in that case has given her one last shot to show up in court to address this. They've tried doing it two different occasions, and she just won't show up. So she's got one more shot. Show up on May 4th, or else I guess he will just decide in the favor of these guys who are suing for this money and just give them the money. Well, like she has it to give.
Yeah, exactly. Even someone who's in as much disarray as Lindsay is, I can't believe she doesn't have a legal team that's saying, you got to show up for these things.
I bet they do. Doesn't mean she answers. And speaking of money, interesting list coming out from the Times of London newspaper. It gave us a list of the richest Brits in the music business, which I thought was very interesting. Here's from 10 to 1 of the richest moneymakers in British music, in British music industry. Tom Jones, a guy who was a singer pretty much in the 60s, I guess in the 70s when he had his hits, is still in the top 10 of all-time British moneymakers in the music industry.
About that,
Ringo Starr,
yeah,
is ninth on the list. His net worth is over $216 million.
Wow.
Olivia and Donnie Jones, excuse me, Donnie Harrison, the widow and son of George Harrison, of course, inherited his estate, so they're eighth on the list. Simon Cowell is only seventh on the list. I thought he was going to be number one.
Yeah,
he is worth over $254 million, however, which ain't shabby.
And he's not done yet, like some of those others that you mentioned.
And considering the guy never put his voice on a record or performed anywhere, it's a pretty good income. Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones, $270 million, makes him number six on the list of top British moneymakers in the music industry. Sting is fifth. Elton John is fourth. Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones is worth $293 million. He's third on the list.
Oh, man.
Simon Fuller, however, the creator of American Idol, is a Brit, owns, I guess, 19 Entertainment is what that company is called. He is worth $539 million, thanks to that franchise.
People have to remember that as big as American Idol is here, it's that big around the world in dozens of other incarnations. I mean, there's a Philippine Idol, and there's all these other countries, and he makes the money from all of them.
Number one richest Brit in the music business?
It's got to be Paul McCartney,
McCartney.
Gotta be.
$730 million is his net worth.
And that's even after losing one leg, right?
Yeah, three quarters
he lost
of a billion
leg.
Dollars. Well, no, he lost a girl with one leg.
Oh,
she took a lot of his money, but he's still got three quarters of $1 billion, so I guess he's all right.
He's okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Channing Tatum from G.I. Joe and Step Up and Fighting. He's 30 years old today. Actress Jordana Brewster. Most recently, I saw her on Chuck. She did a nice little arc on that show. She is 30 years old today. Stana Katic, you know I love her, from Castle. She is 32 years old today. Tom Welling, you know I love him, from Smallville. He is 33. Jose Pasillas of Incubus, the drummer for that band, is 34 years old today. Kevin James from King of Queens and Paul Blart Mall Cop is 45. Jet Li.
Kevin James, if there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want names.
You want names? How about Jet Li? He's 47 years old today. Let's see, another name. Roger Taylor of Duran Duran is funnier than Kevin James. He is 50. And Carol Burnett from the legendary Carol Burnett Show. She is 77 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I was telling you guys I'd never worn a bandana before, which is why I didn't end up like Bret Michaels with an aneurysm. Kevin and Bean listener Mario writes in, hey, Bean, I bet you wore a bandana when you were Menudo's bodyguard. You know, now that I think about it, I might have had to, just to kind of fit in. I don't recall exactly, but...
Wow. Okay.
Good times being a bodyguard for Menudo, I'll tell you that.
Don't start. Don't start with that intro when we can't really delve into that.
What about our friend Mike Shinoda from the great band Linkin Park joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now? Hey, Mike, how are you, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing great, man. As usual, you are the busiest guy in rock and roll. I see you have another 30 projects going on.
I do, but I only want to talk about one.
All right, let's talk about Linkin Park 8-Bit Rebellion. You got a couple of firsts in the world of rock and roll. Tell us what's going on.
Well, we have a new game available now, available at midnight this morning, I guess. It is available on iPod Touch, on iPhone, and on iPad. And the concept of the game, the idea of the game is the world existed in 8-bit harmony until an evil corporation came and basically brainwashed everybody into thinking that they need high res, they need to buy their product, and you need to be part of the rebellion to stop these guys.
Oh, that old story. Trotting out that old war horse again.
It's been an awesome experience doing this thing, though. Have you guys seen the game yet?
I haven't seen it, but everything that I've read about it makes it sound like it's like nothing we've ever seen before. But before you talk about the specifics of the game, what makes Linkin Park want to make a game like this? What is in it artistically for you guys? Because I know you don't do anything unless you think the fans are going
to
love it.
Yeah, there's a couple things that really drew us to the idea of doing a game. The first being that we are gamers. I mean, the guys in the band play video games. And I think, I think that there's a generational thing that happened, I don't know, sometime around when Nintendo and Sega first kind of took over. It was like all of us, it just became something that we do. And back when we were little kids, adults would say, it's the video games are for the little kids. But now, 40-year-old people are playing video games with their kids, and you don't really feel guilty about it. It's just like,
playing video games now is like watching TV now or going to the movies now. It's all the same.
At least, I mean, like they make games that are educational. They make games that are fun with your family. And they make games that are just for adults. I mean, like, they make games that you can work out to. It's a different scenario than it was a long time ago when we were growing up, I should say. And I think that we felt like, this is kind of who our band is. The guys play a lot of games, and it would be fun to do something. And I think the other thing is, as our DJ Joe. Mm-hmm. And I met at Art Center College of Design in Pasadena, and we were both illustration students there. And so kind of that art background, maybe because of that art background, we gravitate towards things where we can kind of use it and have fun doing something visual. And in this game, we got to I in particular got to create like half the characters in the game and design the band and design a lot of the look of the game.
And all of you guys play characters in the game, right? Each band member is represented in the game.
Right. When you go into the game, you've got six different – well, there's seven districts, but there's a center district, and there's six other districts. And each band member conveniently lives in each of the six districts.
What do your songs sound like done on 8-bit machines?
Yeah, I didn't even say that. The one thing that we wanted to do to make this game really have that feel – we called it 8-bit rebellion because that's a word. 8-bit is a word that, like, people who grew up playing old Nintendo and stuff like that, you recognize that and you get the idea. But there's actually references to 8-bit, 16-bit, even like, I don't even know if Atari is 8-bit. It might be lower grade than 8-bit, but regardless, there's references to all that stuff in the game, and it all kind of mixes and matches, being that the concept is that the game came from something low res and has moved into something high res, and now it's just this mishmash of high res and low res stuff.
Yeah, and it's kind of a throwback, kind of a tribute to the old style video games on something that's brand new and 2010.
Yeah, these are a reference to some of our favorite games. Like we wanted it to have that feel of like Mega Man or Super Mario or Rygar, Metroid,
yeah.
Stuff like that. Those were like our favorite games. But the one thing to really kind of round out that experience was an idea that was put forth, I think it was by our bassist, Phoenix. He said, why don't we do the soundtrack for the game instead of doing new, high-res Linkin Park songs that you would hear on an album, and our fans have anyway. Why don't we turn those into Nintendo versions, like 8-bit versions? So I basically recorded all the songs on 8-bit sounds and keyboard sounds. So when you listen to it, it's almost like you're transported back to, 1987, and you're listening to Linkin Park coming out of your game system in that year.
This is the voice of Mike Shinoda on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Linkin Park 8-Bit Rebellion, which is out today for iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad. By the way, Mike, I know you're a technology geek. Have you gotten an iPad yet?
I ordered one of the 3G ones.
Okay.
I haven't gotten my own. I've gotten the chance to play with it since we were testing the game and everything, and they're great. I actually our game is really fun on the iPad in particular, just because it's so there's so much screen real estate to play with. Like, it's so bright and so there's so much to
beautiful resolution, unbelievable looking. All right, last question for you, Mike, and I think this is what's going to be the tipping point. Like, the Linkin Park fans aren't already going to buy it, but tell me about Blackbirds.
So one thing that we kind of have not touched on is that originally it was going to be a secret, but the secret leaked so fast that we couldn't keep up with it. So now we're just telling everybody. When you finish the game, you get a brand new exclusive Linkin Park song. So in buying the game, you play through the game, and you put pieces together. And when all the pieces come together at the end of the game, you get this song. It's an album quality, I should say, track. It's not 8-bit. It's Jester and I singing on it. And it's not going to be on an album or anything else. As far as plans go. So this is the only place you can get it is Linkin Park 8-Bit Rebellion.
The trailer for the game is on your website, linkinpark.com. The game is available in the iTunes Store starting today for iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad. Mike, sounds like fun, man. You've done it again. Good work. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show to tell us about it.
Thank you very much.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Final look at Ralph's Showbiz Beat coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What? Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just because you are Dr. Doolittle. You're the man who has 1,000 animals on your ark, and you've got 2 of every kind, and you're waiting for the flood. And yet, you have more problems than anybody I know. As much as you love animals, as much as you pretend that you have some sort of connection with animals, you always have problems with your animals. And now something as simple as a dog is making your life difficult? I find this hard to believe.
Well, the problem is, I love my dogs, and it may be ill advised to have 6 at one time. But as
doesn't this stem back to your wife buying 5 puppies at once?
Three at one time, right?
Yeah,
which was great, and I love them all. And every time I say we have 2 goddamn many dogs, she says, "But which one would you get rid of?" And I have to look at her and go, "Yeah, you're right. I couldn't choose one to get rid of." So I'm glad that I have them, but there are some growing pains involved because the 3 puppies now, Ralph.
Wait a minute, your dogs were on growing pains?
Wow.
They are 21 months old, which, if you remember, I don't know if Reggie's at that age or not yet, but they are just, you can't stop. They're
the terrible 21s. We used to call them 21s,
exactly. Yeah. Yes. So the problem is that the 3 of them together are very tough. I mean, individually, they're all very well trained and easy to get along with, no problems, but put them together, now you got yourself a pack, okay?
Oh.
Now you got yourself trouble. So when they start roughhousing.
But aren't you the alpha dog of the pack?
Well, you try to be, but, you know, they outweigh me. The 3 of them together outweigh me. And you try to, you know, break them up or something like that when a fight breaks out. And all of a sudden, you end up in the emergency room getting a tetanus shot like I did a couple of weeks ago. So it's getting
to the point
now.
One of your dogs bit you?
One of my dogs bit me, and another dog bit Donna at the same time. We both went to the emergency room and got tetanus shots. No kidding.
No, they didn't.
Donna's got 4 stitches in her arm from a different bite.
That's unacceptable.
Well,
I
when
know.
You get in between them and try and separate them, they don't really realize it's you. They're
they
just,
know. They, no, especially with Bean, they
it's
know.
It's happened with me.
No, they're waiting for a chance. Let's fake a fight so I can bite that big douchebag. That's what they're saying to each other.
They get riled up. So Friday, we finally decided recently, it's getting out
fire
of
hose.
Once you start ending up with stitches, no, and don't even bring up Puppy Lake. Because that's
fire hose. I'm not saying Puppy Lake. Now as a dog owner myself, I can't recommend Puppy Lake, but fire hose, seriously.
Once you start getting literally and legitimately hurt and ending up in the emergency room, you got to go, well, we got to do something. So now we're starting to reach out and maybe look to some additional training beyond maybe what we're capable of in order to, you know, kind of teach them some manners. That's all we're trying
to do. I
heard
you were training this weekend. Is that correct?
We did. We went to a trainer on Friday and met with her, and she met our dogs, and she gave us some advice, and we're discussing whether or not she'd be a good person for us to bring on board as part of the team.
I heard you talked to more than one trainer this weekend. That's the word on the street.
We have been shopping around because you want to pick the right person. You don't want to commit to the first guy you come across.
Right.
So, yeah, talking to a bunch of people.
And you went to world famous Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer.
You did?
That's what I heard through the grapevine.
How could you not? I mean, obviously, if you're looking for a dog trainer, he's the number one name in dog training.
He's
right?
The best.
Well, you may not know this, Bean.
What?
But the K-Rock microphones were there while you were talking to Caesar
Milan. No, yeah. That was private.
You were taking a session. You were there to feel him out, to watch him work with other dogs, and apparently I was led to believe the 2 of you didn't get along so well.
How dare you?
Buenos dias, everyone. I'm Cesar Malone, the Dog Whisperer. I'd like to welcome you to the Doggy Boot Camp. Let's start off with something very simple, just vocal commands. I'd like everybody to try...
Excuse me, Mr. Malone.
Yes?
I have a question. Why is my dog so aggressive?
We will touch on that later. Let's go one step at a time. Let's try just vocal commands first. Everybody look at your dog and give it a...
Okay, I have one more question. Why is French toast so good?
You sir, in the beanie hat, please, can you restrict your questions for after the seminar, please?
Okay, wait, one more question. Why is Gordon Lightfoot the greatest entertainer of our generation?
All right, please hold on one moment, sir. Fido, come here. Ay de mí. Fido. Venga aquí. Attack!
Why is your dog eating my testicles?
Yeah, I heard things did not go so well with Cesar.
I think I'll be going back to Cesar Dell. Yeah.
Hey!
That ain't right. That song has dirty words in it. It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q, the world famous K-Rock and Fast. It's 9:42. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, considering how sick I am.
Yes, you did good. I agree.
You've done an excellent job. I lost my bet. I had the under of an hour, and you have lasted the entire show.
So
and by the way, Lisa May still standing here at the end of the program. She started off pretty weak, too, by the way, but
yes.
We hung in there.
Yes.
So. All right, time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on, Ralph Garman?
Because it is Monday, we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend so you can see if your favorite film was loved by others as well. How to Train Your Dragon was the number one attraction at the box office this weekend. $15 million made it number one. Then The Backup Plan, new romantic comedy with Jennifer Lopez, was $12.3 million in the bank. Came in at number two. Date Night was third. Anyone seen Date Night, by the way? I've not yet seen it. Steve Carell and Tina Fey. I love them both.
I know.
The Losers was number four at the box office. Kick-Ass, one of my favorite movies of the year. I really enjoyed that film. Came in at number five this weekend. Clash of the Titans was six. Death at a Funeral, Oceans, The Last Song, and Alice in Wonderland, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. I admit it over and over again. I don't get it. The phenomenon of Biebermania is lost on me. However, it has struck yet once again. Justin Bieber was forced to cancel a massive outdoor concert in Sydney, Australia, when several young fans were trampled and at least 10 girls fainted.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Several others had some minor injuries. Apparently, 5,000 people camped out overnight for the performance.
Oh.
Police canceled the outdoor show after paramedics had to break down the barriers in order to get to the young girls in the front who were being crushed by the massive crowd.
Yeah.
I saw the YouTube video of the crowd that you're describing, the 5,000, and it's Beatlemania all over again. It's crazy how,
but,
not just the numbers of it, but the passion.
But the Beatles, if I'm not mistaken, had talent.
Well, there's that.
Justin Bieber, I guess he's a cute kid. Not my type. Maybe if I were a priest, he'd you know, turn me on. But I don't. But there are a lot of cute kids in show business. I don't see the kids from The Suite Life demanding this kind of mania.
I got Bieber fever.
No.
It is really baffling.
Yeah,
he's baffling.
Fine. His songs suck, but I will say he is kind of impressive when you see him perform.
But,
and that he'll get up, he'll play the guitar and do like a soft ballad. He'll also dance around and do kind of like the hip hop thing.
Yes,
and,
look, he's fine. Don't get me wrong. I think he's. If he was on the Disney Channel, I could see why people would watch him. But this level of
pandemonium.
Insane. You're right. It's insane.
This fervent, just foaming at the mouth passion.
And it's not just 7, 8-year-old girls.
No.
It's 16, 17-year-old girls just flipping their lid for the guy.
Yeah.
No way.
I can only take some small comfort in the fact that Leif Garrett also felt had the same sort of reaction. So
I look where he is now.
Exactly. I'm hoping to see Justin Bieber.
He has an
panhandling in a subway station somewhere.
Leif Garrett's going to get an aneurysm from wearing that bandana for the last 20 years.
That's what Bean
thinks. That bandana's cause brain bleeds.
And as a PS, by the way, when Zac Efron was at the height of his high school musical, Mania, super nice kid, very down to earth, appreciative. Justin Bieber just seems like a dick. On top of having thousands of people show up and not being that talented, he just seems like it's a pain in the ass to him.
He is a way cocky douchebag.
Dave and I had the chance to talk to him backstage at the Grammys, King of Mexico and I. Yeah. And as soon as he walked away, the first thing we said was, kid's kind of an a-hole.
No, really?
Yeah. Cocky little kid.
Yep. Stephanie Pratt, speaking of cocky and no talent, she is the latest celebrity, I put that in quotes, to be embraced by PETA. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Apparently, if you would like to see racy photos of her showing off her goodies for the plight of small furry animals, you can go to a racy application for iPhone called Be Nice to Bunnies, and apparently you can see her in various states of undress.
No!
Apparently said she's on board because she loves guinea pigs, rats, and bunnies. And hates the fact that they are being studied and used for experiments. By the way, bunnies are useless.
Aww.
I had a rabbit as a pet. They blow. They may are crappy pets. I say, get out the mascara. Test them out. Test it out. Wrong. Whatever. Use them. There are so many of them, really. Do we have to save the bunnies? There's an ass load of bunnies everywhere you look. I'm just saying, if it saves one life, test away. That's all we're saying, right?
That's what we're saying, everyone.
Everyone?
Gonna save
everyone? We're all saying that? Good.
But I just don't know how cosmetics save lives. I'm just...
What if you don't test the cosmetics, and then you're putting on your mascara, and your eye explodes?
Okay.
That's a bad surprise, right?
Good point.
How are you going to find out? Grab yourself a guinea pig. That's why they're called guinea pigs, because they're guinea pigs. That's where the name comes from.
Guinea pig should have seen that coming.
Exactly.
They're guinea pigs.
Because they're guinea pigs. Their name is guinea pig. And traditionally, the guinea pig is the guy you try stuff out on.
That's a good point. I didn't realize it was on them.
That's right. They made a poor choice. That's what I say.
Like Lou Gehrig really had no choice of dying of Lou Gehrig disease.
You got Lou Gehrig disease. You're Lou Gehrig. Of course you're going to get that disease.
They were four ordinary guinea pigs.
That's
until
right.
The FBI got a hold of them.
What got hold of them?
That's right, exactly.
The FBI.
The FBI!
Only Bean has audio from the G-Force trailer.
Come on, how could I not? How could I not?
Just in case a guinea pig story came up.
Nah, are you serious?
Today's celebrity birthday is Channing Tatum. G.I. Joe! I hated that bunny so much, I had to release him at a golf course in the middle of the night.
Oh my God!
That's why I got rid of my rabbit. They blow as pets. They said, you can train him, make him go in a litter box. Nope.
That was mauled by coyotes, Ralph.
Maybe. He's fast enough to escape.
I had rabbits as pets at one time, and they were killed by the neighbor's dog. The neighbor's dog got into my yard and killed them.
Well, there you go.
That's what happened to mine. Beethoven and Johann were my rabbits.
Oh, my God. Oh. How long did you never get laid?
30 years old, Channing Tatum is. Jordana Brewster is also 30 years old today. Stana Katic from Castle. Oh, I love her so much. She's 32. Tom Welling, Superman from Smallville, is 33 years old today. Kevin James from King of Queens and Paul Blart Mall Cop, 45 years old. Roger Taylor of Duran Duran celebrates his 50th birthday. Carol Burnett, legendary TV actress and comedian, is 77. And Jose Pasillas of Incubus, he's the drummer for that band. He's 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Don't forget, come on back for an all-new Kevin and Bean show tomorrow. We are going to have a great discussion I am looking forward to about how much porn you can get away with viewing at work.
Yeah.
Big story broke at the end of last week about these government computers that they were finding your taxpayer dollars at work. People spending sometimes 5, 6, 7 hours a day surfing porn instead of, doing your job. In this case, the Security Exchange Commission. While Wall Street burns down, basically, these guys are on U-Porn. What's up with
that? These guys are supposed to be watching the big banks and the Lehman Brothers and these kind of stock houses who are screwing people over.
Just 7 hours
yes,
a day.
Yes.
Oh, my
yes.
God.
All right.
That explains everything.
Also, Professor Stephen Hawking says, look out. If you run into an alien, turn the other way. Do not engage with outer space people. We'll find out what that's all about. We got a new roundup for you for all of our favorite videos on the Internet. Speaking of the Internet, Web Soup is a very popular TV show on G4. Chris Hardwick, the host of that program, is going to be joining us. More tickets for Iron Man 2. You get a chance to see it 3 days before it opens. That is easily the most anticipated movie of the summer. And I've got a doctor's appointment today, guys. I think my belly button may be trying to kill me.
You keep talking about this belly button. Can we see it? Can you send us a photo? Because I'd be fascinated.
Yeah, what's up with it?
I got. You would think that the belly button is the one low maintenance part of your body that you never have to really be concerned
never
about.
Never had to do anything with mine.
Yeah. Beans is bursting out of his body. It's like Alien.
It is. I'm telling you, I've got tentacles coming out of my
body.
Like
those kids you see in Africa that when they're starving, like the big popping out, like a button, like a knob.
Well, I am as fat as those bloated kids that you see in Africa, but I'm telling you, yeah, the belly button itself now has stuff that's coming out of it. That's, I mean,
Oh my god!
I don't know if I'm growing a tail. Which would my be god! Unfortunate to come out of the front of my body or what the deal is, but I am going to the doctor today, and I'm a little bit nervous about it. So we will we'll discuss once I find out what's going on, but. You don't expect belly button surgery, right? That's the last thing you ever think.
How does that even happen?
I don't know. It's creepy.
How does anyone get a sick belly button?
It's no good. Anyway, that is all tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including the latest from Cypress Hill. It's called Rise Up. Also some Everclear, Linkin Park. We got Muse, Incubus, Paramore, and more coming up right after this on K-Rock.